UFO sightings reported around the world every month. 90% of these sightings can be explained, but 10% cannot. Officially and unofficially, the U.S. military has been investigating UFOs since 1947. Their top secret goal is to find out what's behind these unexplained sightings. The Pentagon classifies them as unusual airborne anomalies. But a better term is X-Files. Join us as we explore these unsolved cases, UFO incidents that baffle even the U.S. military. This is Mac Maloney's Military X-Files. And now, here's Mac Maloney.
Hey, thanks everyone for joining us for our live audience show. We had a lot of fun, and for those who might have missed last week's show, here are the highlights from our live audience show, a special presentation of Mac Maloney's Military X-Files.
Hey, so know who we have on the phone right now, Juan?
No.
Why am I so hot?
Let me guess.
Man? We're really hot.
Tom anyway. Brady?
No. Next right. Best thing.
Okay.
Calling in for the special live audience show.
Who is it?
You love him, you hate him. Dribbles the Clown.
Oh, man. I love Dribbles the Clown.
All right. I suppose we have to give him a small ovation.
I love Dribbles.
Please. Be restrained, folks. Be restrained.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, guys. By the way, it's you love him, you love him.
He's a funny guy, but he's got a good heart.
Why are we so hot here, Roman?
Hot for Dribbles?
No. Hot for...
I don't know.
Okay. We look good now. Okay. All right, Dribbles, so you've called in. You have about 2 minutes. What are you doing? You're still out in Vegas?
I am still out in Vegas, and I'm going for the rest of the drinks that you won't let me tell people what they are on the air.
Well, you had us bleep last week when you were talking about the Bend Over Betty or whatever that thing you were drinking.
It's a Bend Over Shirley.
Bend Over Shirley.
Okay. That is a real drink.
Yeah, okay. Tell it to the FCC. Anyway, so you're out there and you've met another stripper. I don't know. It's all kind of blurry when I talk to you.
That's okay. Her name is Bambi O'Sullivan.
Bambi O'Sullivan, really? So she's an Irish stripper?
Very nice.
Out in Vegas. Okay.
Yes.
Sounds good. Yeah.
One of those names is gratuitous, but yeah. It is Bambi O'Sullivan.
Bambi O'Sullivan.
Does she have nice shamrocks?
She
does indeed, gentlemen. Are we allowed to go there?
Well, we have already gone there, and now we're trying to get back. So, is she redheaded? Is she a ginger, as they say over in Ireland?
Yes, she is redheaded, and yes, okay. The curtains match the drapes. That's the same thing.
Extremely inappropriate, Dribbles.
I blew that. All right, forget that. Okay.
Do
you call her deer?
I call her deer.
Love the dead air.
Because she's Bambi, yes. What choice do I have?
Yeah. Love the dead air there, Dribbles. Oh, well, listen, do you have something to say to all the people who have gathered here today? Something funny, hopefully, first time for everything?
Yes. Well, let's see what I can do. First off, I think it's wonderful that you're finally getting together a live show. And what is it exactly that we're celebrating? How many years?
4.5 years.
I can't believe
years.
It's that long.
It seems like it's 4.5 years. Okay, you got 30 seconds left. Anything else of import?
Well, and they said it wouldn't last? No, I wouldn't say that at all. I have to thank you. I have to thank you, Mac, for making me everything that I am today.
Wow, it's awesome.
And aren't you glad?
Okay, tell us your best joke real quick, 10 seconds.
My best joke, I got 10 seconds?
Yep.
I can't tell that joke. But in any case.
The crickets anticipated
What I'll tell you real quick is the words of another great clown who said...
Yes. I got 4,000 crickets standing by here, please.
A little smile, little class, a little salsa down your pants.
Okay. Would the crickets enjoy having a grasshopper? Have you enjoyed a grasshopper drink lately?
Wow. I don't think I have enough batteries in this thing.
I have had a nice grasshopper. Although we call it, in my neighborhood, we call it a Sydney.
Oh, there you go.
Because that's his name.
Sydney Grasshopper?
Yes.
Okay. All right, we won't go there. Dribbles, thank you.
That's so bad. Thank hey, if only I knew you'd wanted a joke, I would have been all set.
Well, okay, you are supposed to be a comedian. You're supposed to be on your feet, but that's okay. We understand. So listen, thank
right.
you.
Maybe
for
he's not
taking,
on his feet, right?
Yeah, probably not. He's probably yeah. a horizontal at that's this right. point. I see that now with the big shoes, kind of you know right. pointing straight up.
The last time he was on the air, he said, "Remember that Chinese place?" And I said, "What? The restaurant or the laundry?"
Oh wow. Racist so maybe, and funny. Okay.
Maybe he was there.
Yeah, he was there.
At one of those places.
Thank you, Dribbles, for taking time in your very busy schedule to call in. You're one of the people who makes the show shine, so thank you very much. And let's have restrained applause, please, for Dribbles.
Dribbles, you're all right in my book.
Okay. All right. That was hey, by the way, I do have one thing to tell you.
Harry?
Do you know who used to like my really big shoes?
Who?
Mrs. Ed Sullivan.
Oh, what? Oh, boy. Okay. All right. I'm sorry.
I tried. So,
This is now officially
Dribbles,
cruelty
I got a
to
quick
animals.
Question. Do you have any big plans for hunting season? You know, it's pretty coming up in deer and those kind of things.
Yes, I'm going to spend a lot of time hiding because of the new Stephen King thing. Right now, pretty much everyone wants to take a shot at us.
Yep.
Okay. So I'll be hiding during the hunting season.
Okay. It's going to be a big flop, so you won't have to hide long. Thank you very much, Dribbles, for joining us. And for being part of the show, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
And here goes for 4.5 more years,
okay.
Boys.
Thanks a lot, Dribbles.
Thank you.
Okay, see you later.
He's tipping one already.
Bye-bye, Dribbles.
UFOs are found in Renaissance art, on ancient coins, and etched on cave walls. They're even reported in the Bible. But more surprising is when UFOs are seen the most, in times of war. Through centuries, thousands of UFO sightings have been made by high-ranking officials, military pilots, and ordinary soldiers. Often, these fantastic appearances occur at the height of great battles. From World War I to D-Day to Korea, Vietnam, and beyond, military investigators are baffled. Why do UFO sightings spike so drastically during wartime? Could it be mistaken aircraft, or is someone or something looking in on us? In UFOs in Wartime, What They Didn't Want You to Know, Mac Maloney chronicles centuries of these incredible sightings and tries to solve the puzzle of why so many UFOs are seen while humanity is at war. Read about the scare ships, the ghost planes, and the ghost rockets, alien giants in the jungles of Vietnam, UFOs controlling our ICBM bases, dogfights with flying saucers during the Gulf War, and more. 300 pages of unbelievable stories, along with many startling photographs. That's UFOs in Wartime, What They Didn't Want You to Know, by Mac Maloney. On sale at your local bookstore or on Amazon.com.
I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger, and you're listening to Mac Maloney's Military X-Files show on Distant Thunder Radio Network.
Hey, welcome back to Mac Maloney's Military X-Files show here on the Distant Thunder Radio Network. This is Mac Maloney. What a wild night.
It's been a busy night.
It's unbelievable. Anyway.
Live audience.
In the studio with us.
We got to do this more often, right?
Well, are you kidding? Wan is
on,
here.
Wan
loves. He drinks in the applause like it's.
Who brought all the food?
Fine scotch. Who bought it?
Who brought it? Yeah.
Yeah. Lois Lane.
Oh.
To bring it. Anyway, he's here. Commander Cobra is here.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Coco, and another. We know where he is, but we can't see him, which is how he prefers it for some reason.
That's because he's Mr. Sensitive.
Right. Exactly. But you know, we found out they're the ones with the long mixed sexual organs, apparently. Isn't that Dr. Larry was saying?
No, Action Man has that.
Oh, really? Yeah.
That's
right. I'm going to have to go back and listen to the tape.
Unlike the sensitive folks, I don't go soft.
What happened to brains is the sexiest organ? Is that just that 260s, man?
No, that's...
Anyway.
I think Barbara might have something to say about that.
You know, we have...
I didn't want to get them debating.
Barbara is on the line with us. That's why Juan was talking.
Real gentleman talk there, right. Lads. Real gentleman talk.
That's right.
Also, I've said it before. You know, you have a good show when celebrities drop in on you, and one just dropped in on us. It's Al Rinaldo, UFO mechanic.
Good evening, Mac. Good evening, Juan.
I don't think the microphone is on in the in the in the audience room, is it?
Yeah.
Hold on. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay, Al. I wish I had a bigger set of applause for you.
Well,
but
you know,
okay.
You work with what you got.
That's right. Okay. So, you know a lot about UFOs. Apparently, if I had a UFO that had to be fixed, I would bring it to you, right?
You could attempt that.
What would the neighbors say? Can you imagine? No, neighbors would say.
There's so much weird stuff going on at my house, they wouldn't even notice.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, I won't say no. Al and I are neighbors anyway. You explained to me the other day how if you smell dirty socks from your beehive, that's a good thing, right?
If the goldenrod is in bloom, yes.
And it's in bloom big time.
Okay.
It is heavily bloomed right now.
Sounds dirty, but it's not.
That's what uncured goldenrod honey smells like while it's in the hive.
Wow. Well, no.
Being processed by the bees.
Okay.
It means there's a crop coming.
All right. So we also have Barbara Whiff is on the line with us, a favorite fan from Wisconsin. I got everything right? Name, state?
Yep. Barbara Whiff from Wisconsin.
Yes, you did.
From Madeline Island, Wisconsin.
There you
to
go.
Be exact.
Well,
hello, Barbara.
And she was supposed to be here with us live and in person, but she had a little bit of an accident, and Einstein threw her down the stairs, and she broke her wrist.
What's funny about that, she's a psychic. I would have thought she saw this coming.
Saw it coming. You know? I don't know why.
I keep suggesting that.
Anyway.
Give him the rim shot.
It doesn't work that way.
Give him the rim shot also sounds stupid.
There you go.
There we go. And now, and we also have one of our good friends, Cindy Bailey Dove, is online with us. But I want to just, I'm going to see if we can tell this story in less than a minute, you and me. Okay. The story about the special.
Okay.
Let me, I'm just going to throw stuff at you. Tell me yes and no. This is how it happened.
Okay.
Rich guy is walking along the street in Paris.
Yes.
Okay. He sees a that looks kind of unusual.
Yes.
Okay. He takes out his card. He writes on it, if you ever want to sell this car, let me know.
Correct.
Okay. 2 or 3 years goes by. He's in the United States. He's British. He's in the United States. His mother gets a phone call saying the guy wants to sell the.
Correct.
Okay. He flies over. He's a rich guy. Goes to Paris. Buys the car.
He does.
Okay. They bring it the car back to the UK through the channel or something.
Yeah. He drives it home.
Okay. Drives it home.
To his parents' house.
Okay. In England. He brings it to his mechanic. He wants to bring it over to the U.S. And the mechanic says.
Car can't come to the country because it is not certified.
It's completely illegal. Okay, this car had, how big was the engine in it?
It is a, basically, it's what would be considered a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Okay, yeah.
It is a factory race car that was never intended to be on the street.
Okay, get that?
Yeah.
What ended up happening, it ended up getting taken apart and sent to the United States.
Right. Well,
in pieces.
So he wanted it over. So he says, hey, listen, do me a favor. So didn't they send it over like in boxes of sand
sent it
or
over,
something?
Oh, when they got to the end, everything was here except the body shell.
Okay.
The body shell was then covered in dirt and made to look like a piece of junk.
Yeah.
And sent over as a parts.
Right. Yeah. Parts. Yeah. And no one's going to look through that.
Right. Now it ended up into a port in the United States, which I won't go into.
The ports are in.
Well, you know, but we're not supposed to say.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Oofa. The car got.
Well, at least we have another book.
Okay. Oh, yeah. This is a great book.
The car got shipped off to parts unknown, and reassembled.
Okay.
The alignments.
Right. You know, so they call up and they say, "Hey, listen, we need parts for this, and here's the VIN number." And then the guy hang up on them.
Yeah, they got hung up.
They got hung up on. Okay. So now. Just hanging up on you, you think what's going on? So, but they call back. They're persistent.
They kept calling back, and they ended up getting some higher influential.
And someone said, "We're going to send you the pass, but never call here again." Right.
Basically, it came down to, do you understand what the car is?
Okay. And then it turned out to be like this unbelievable super duper race car that was on the street, right? That
correct.
You really couldn't.
It is the only one ever built.
Okay. It's a huge engine and everything. Yeah. And the theory is that. One of some rich guy in the Gulf States, this guy who owned it in Paris was a doctor, and he helped him out some way.
Somehow.
And he gave him this car. It's not supposed to be on the road, obviously.
Right.
It's
like somehow
1,000 horsepower.
It ended up that it was a hand-built one-of-a-kind that was built for a very, very rich oil-producing nation's.
Like Emirate or something.
Right.
You know?
So it was in his personal collection and was never supposed to be sold. And then one day he just sold it off, and it ended up to this gentleman in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
So when it came to be found out, to get called and said, what is this car?
Right.
You know, what are the specs? I need alignment, and I need everything. And they said, do you understand what this car is? And he said, well, yeah, it's this. And they said, no, it is one of one that was ever built. It is the only one.
One of one.
One of one. And it belongs back here.
What?
It does not belong here.
Oh, that's cool.
They wanted it back?
Oh, yeah.
They just to get rid of it, maybe.
They want it gone. Yeah. But it has moved around the country. And it the funny thing is now there are other versions of the car that if you parked six of them together
you wouldn't know.
You put this one in the middle, you really wouldn't know what it was because they kind of made ones that look like
okay.
But this thing has the half thick windshield, it's got all the titanium parts. This is truly a race car. It has no business on the street whatsoever.
That's cool, man. You know, that's when you get a lot of money. You know what I mean? That's when you get
The thing was, I don't think the guy who bought it understood this when he bought it.
Right, yeah.
And no one would have considered, I'm going to buy the only one of this car in existence.
Right. Where's Mark Zappul? Where is he? Is he there in the... Hey, Mark, good idea for a book, isn't it? He's already writing. He's already taking notes.
But it ended up...
Yeah.
How do you get insurance for this baby?
That's what they don't have insurance. They're so rich they don't need...
It's registered and insured. It has a title in the United States now. Mm-hmm. It is... no one realizes what it is because the designation of what the car's numbers are is a car that is sold in this country.
Right, okay, yeah.
This one isn't a real one. It's sort of one because it looks like it.
Yeah.
But it's... It's like a Grand Prix car underneath.
Tell that to the judge. Right. Anyway, I love the story, man. We should just devote 2 hours because I know there's a lot more to the story. There's a lot of funny stuff.
It's a lot of...
But these guys did just say, oh, you know, there's a very illegal car. That's okay. Pull it apart. Put it in boxes of sand and ship it to the United States. We don't care, you know, because they have so much money and they can just do stuff like this.
Right. But again, I don't think he figured when he got it,
he had.
It wasn't until it was already assembled.
So the price must have been right to not raise suspicion.
And he's been offered a ton of money for it. And the thing is, he can't sell it in this country.
Yeah, right.
Because if something ever happened and someone researched it and they found out what it was, it would be... there'd be lawsuits flying everywhere.
Right.
So, you know, for this guy to ever get rid of it, it's going to go back to Europe.
He'd be in pieces.
Drop a dime.
You can dump it back to Europe.
It would be gone. Yeah.
Because it was already it was already registered in Paris.
Okay. Just leave with the keys in
it. So they wouldn't care about...
another office. The car being called in.
There he is. He has a car phone. Oh, no. Now, listen, thanks for sharing that story. You know, hang in there. We're going to talk to our good friend Cindy Bailey Dove on the line with us from Arkansas. How you doing there, Cindy?
I'm doing wonderful, Mac. How are you?
We're excellent.
I'm doing good. You know, it's
fun. We
just wanted you to call in to, you know, say hello to our live audience, Cindy Bailey Dove, everyone.
Oh, wow. Hello, and I'm thrilled to be the show with the live audience.
And I got
to
say, you know, for years when we were on other networks and so on and in conversations we've had, and then when we started the show, you would call in and talk to us about drones. And we believed you because you had done a lot of research, but a lot of people just didn't understand. Drones have been flying around for years, okay? Since the Vietnam War, the U.S. military has been flying drones. It's just now that it's...
World War II.
Yeah, it's become into the...
I just dug up an article that is called The First Drone Attack from America was in 1944.
Okay. Wow. So a lot of people, what a lot of people in the UFO community kind of get upset about is that for years, people have been seeing UFOs, reporting UFOs and stuff. And listen, we got to say a certain large percentage have been these drones. Okay. And no one wants to hear that in the UFO community. They want to believe everything that everyone has ever seen has come from outer space. It hasn't. A lot of drones were mistook for UFO. Cindy was the first one to really kind of start talking about this and how drones are going to be, you know, affecting our future. And then I've been carrying around this news story for 2 weeks. Walmart just got their license to start flying Zeppelins over New York City. The same as Amazon is going to do. They have huge warehouses. They're going to fly the stuff. They're going to have the Zeppelin land, fill it with merchandise, have it, you know, float over the city. Drones are going to bring the stuff down to you. This is how we're going to be shopping in like 5 years. This isn't like Jetsons 50 years. This is going to be happening in New York City.
I can see the drone delivering the 65-inch 4K TV.
Well, they do. And Amazon's going to have buses going around neighborhood, just like ice cream trucks do. Here comes the Amazon bus. What do you want right. to buy from it? Yeah. So the way we buy stuff is going to change dramatically, like in the next 2 or 3 years. And Cindy, you were the first one who told us that Google was going to have Zeppelins, and it sounded so crazy. But now here we are. They're going to be doing it along with Walmart.
Yes. I mean, I basically started this 5 years ago because of all the technology I saw in around my area. And when I started digging into this, I just started finding all kinds of fantastic things that's already been announced in declassified documents. And, you know, I told you from the beginning that this was all going to happen, and it wasn't going to be 20 or 30 years, the next 5 or 6 years.
Right.
And then the drones are just getting bigger and bigger. Everybody's going to be using these drones. Anything you can think of, and that's because it's already happening. Anything you can think to do with the drone is going to be being done with the drone. And it's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Right.
And yeah, and I mean, I'll tell you the truth. I just didn't know this. I mean, if I hadn't happened to move in the, you know, backyard of this drone program, I wouldn't have realized it, but, you know, I felt like I had to say something because I'm sitting here watching drones flying around in, you know, in people's neighborhood.
Well, it turns out
several articles about that now. This declassified.
Right. It turns out you live next to an airport, a private airport, civilian airport, that the military has been using to test drones. So it just, you know, maybe it's just fate that you were able to be as close to the subject as some people weren't. You were the first one to notice these things and to, you know, tell the UFO community not everything you've seen in the past, you know, 40 years has been a UFO. But, you know, we're glad that you were able to join us. Thanks for educating us. It's always good to hear your voice. Remember how we got thrown off the air because I was being inappropriate calling you baby and honey? Remember those years?
What?
Yeah, I remember those years.
It seems like many years ago, but
Well,
I need to hear this story someday.
No, just now we had a little trouble with the FCC. Little noogie fight with the FCC. Oh. It's a long story. None of the show. Hey, Cindy, thanks for joining us, and we're going to have you on again real soon and update us on, you know, the coming age of drones. Here it comes.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay.
I'm so happy to be invited to
this
podcast. Thank you, everyone.
All right, Cindy.
Thanks, Cindy. See you later.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, see, she was on 3 years ago telling us all this stuff was going to happen. I got to tell you, man, 3 years ago, in a million years, would you think Walmart, Zeppelin?
Yeah, where's that Walmart article? That Walmart article?
Zeppelins and drones, you know, bad weather and all. Did they ever see the Hindenburg?
Hopefully they're not filling it with the same material.
Yeah, I don't want to see my TV going up in flames and the guy screaming, "Oh, the humanity!" When it's
That's why you have to select the insurance.
Bottom line.
Yeah, exactly.
They didn't have insurance. Hey, listen, we're going to take a commercial break now, and we're going to be back with some more fascinating guests. You're listening to Mac Maloney's special broadcast, live audience show, having a lot of fun. So stay with us.
All right.
For some reason, all the girls left, but we're still having fun. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this. Hey, Juan, did you go to the beach a lot as a kid?
Yes, Mac, I sure did.
I have a feeling like as a youth, you were like the 90-pound weakling and that the bullies used to kick sand in your face.
As a matter of fact, they did. I mean, I tried to pump iron back then, but I'd get pooped pretty quickly.
Oh, my God. Look at you two girly men.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
What are you doing here?
I'm here to make sure you read the ad copy for this fabulous new workout product called SEX that I can't endorse, but I'm sure works wonderfully.
Hey, Arnold, what was that thing with you and the maid?
Ugh, just do the ad.
Yeah, man, nailing the maid, that's a little fringy.
That's it. I'm going to turn you into two Vienna pretzels.
Cobra, save us!
I'd be glad to, gentlemen. What the boys are trying to say is, this is a new energy drink that can give you the extra endurance you need to get through your daily workout.
Yeah.
It's called SEX, for Strength Energy Accelerator. It comes easy to use. Just mix a scoop with water and drink 30 minutes before you start your workout, and you find you can last longer and feel all around better after finishing your regime.
Yeah.
The mix comes in many different flavors. Of course, my favorite is passion fruit.
Me too.
And it contains all the essentials you need to get over the top, whether you're trying to add muscle and bulk or just maintain your current physique.
You could look like me.
That's SEX, workout dietary supplement, available only through Cadillo USA. Visit CadilloUSA.com for more details. That's CadilloUSA.com and get some sex today.
Hey, what's going on in here?
Pistol Pete, what are you doing here?
I told you guys, no partying in the studio. What are all these dumbbells doing here?
Hey, just because you own this place doesn't mean you can call me a dumbbell.
Oh, yeah?
Kick his ass, Pete.
Come on, I'm right here.
SCX workout powder, available only through CadilloUSA.com. Read instructions carefully before using.
After the events of 9/11, we thought America would never be the same. Our homeland was attacked. Our fellow Americans killed by terrorists. It seemed like all hope was lost. Until a special group of patriots came together and defied the Pentagon and vowed to take revenge, but in their own way. They took the battle to the terrorist doorstep, turning the tables on the murderers, fighting with no rules, taking no prisoners, until they became terrorists themselves. This is the story of the Super Hawks, soldiers so secret even the president didn't know they existed. Their mission was to kill Bin Laden, but they wound up saving the world. Super Hawks, a new series for Kindles and Nooks by Mac Maloney, available on Amazon.com.
Hi, I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger, and you're listening to Mac Maloney's Military X-Files show on Distant Thunder Radio Network.
Welcome back, everyone, to Mac Maloney's Military X-Files show here on the Distant Thunder Radio and Network. Hey, you know what this is? This is an extension of the live audience show 1-1. This is Mac After Dark, the after party.
Yeah, okay? The last show was just crazy. Too much for and just one session.
We had so we had to break it into two, and we wanted all our friends to call in, and one of them has called in, Bill Stillman, our good friend there in Pennsylvania, psychic and a lot of other things. How are you doing there tonight, William?
Hi, fellas. Good to be back, Mac. Thanks. It's a pleasure, as always.
Yeah, we always have a good time when you come on. Now,
yeah, thank you.
You're someone who you explain what you do.
What I do? Well, I've been in the field of serving people with developmental disabilities and autism for 30 years. This is my 30-year anniversary this year.
Wow.
But for the past going on 14 years now, I've also been working professionally as a psychic medium. So I meet with people one-on-one for private sessions. And in the past couple of years, I've expanded that to include events at theaters and performing arts centers, working with a live audience, and that's really become my passion. And I'm also the author or co-author of about 20 books at this point.
Wow.
Wow, man, 20 books. I'm up there somewhere, but I know that's a lot of typing, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, it really flows for me, and I think that if you are personally invested in what it is that you're writing about and you're passionate about it, it kind of writes itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you that I never really learned how to type, so I type with one. I type with one finger.
That's amazing.
That's what I do. That's what I've been doing for in so much writing over the years, like 30 years. You think I'd be the best typist in the world, Max Apula? Are you a good typist?
I'm better than one hand. I can use two hands. So
I just use
one hand.
Would take
me a couple, 40 years to take, to finish. But William, I got a question for you. When's your next book coming out?
Yes, thanks for asking. I've got a new book coming out early November.
Okay.
Last year's book was called Under Spiritual Siege, and it's about evil and negative energies and what to do about them.
Mm-hmm.
This new book is going in a different direction. It's called The Secret Language of Spirit, Understanding Spirit Communication
mm-hmm.
in Our Everyday Lives. It's available for pre-order on Amazon.com now.
Nice.
And it's getting a lot of really great advanced publication buzz internally from the publisher and also from folks in the field who have read it.
Right.
And have endorsed it. So
right.
Very much looking forward to how everybody else receives.
Right. And how long did it take you to write it?
It came together very, very quickly. I think we you and I talked about this privately the one time we got together on Skype, but it came together very, very quickly over the summer. I sold it almost immediately and just had a very quick turnaround.
Cool. That's great.
So, William, I'm sorry. So when you say over the summer, 2-3 months or?
Yeah, tops.
We'd really like to know because I've done stuff like that, but it's, you know, I'm under the gun and you just, you know, and I know what you mean. You just keep on typing and it, and eventually
you
it all
comes. Keep tight and rewriting and edit and all that stuff.
Here's my editor. Call me now. Where's the book?
When there's a room full of authors here.
Right.
When I write, I always write the book completely first. And then I do a proposal that I use to pitch.
Wow.
So I'm never under the gun to meet anybody's deadline. And, you know, I can fiddle with it and tweak it as much as I
right.
until the time, you know, it gets accepted.
Right, right. I've never done that. I always just write the pitch. Write the pitch.
Yeah, I write the pitch right away.
Yeah.
You know?
I do it the opposite way. See if you, but I don't think my editor touched a word of it.
Right. See, if you write the book and then do the pitch – boom, you can give them the book immediately, and you actually, you're better off financially, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Saving time is money.
So have you had any like unusual clients lately, customers?
Well, you know, last we were talking about extraterrestrials, and I don't have any real new updates for you fellas this time around, but I don't know if you remember me talking about praying mantis and the prevalence of praying mantis with people who feel as though they have had some sort of contact with extraterrestrials. Mm-hmm. Do you fellas remember us talking about
that?
Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, just the other day, I learned that as of July, the Draper Lab and the Howard Hughes Medical Institute had completed a study on using dragonflies and genetically modifying dragonflies to react to light pulses sent by a remote control. And the idea is that they could at some point be used in spy operations to get into areas where drones cannot.
Wow.
So I thought spy dragonflies. Really a fascinating sort of parallel to the whole praying mantis as scout concept. Yeah.
Wow, that's strange, man. You can almost see it, though. You know what? They look like little helicopters. When you see them, the movements of dragonflies look like helicopters.
They
do. In a way.
And they land on your nose, and you talk to them and everything.
We always thought they stung you, but they're just big flies.
Well, I'm killing them for nothing, then, huh?
There you go. Oh, yeah, I never kill one. That's like bad luck, man. So, now, Bill, you live down near the Amish country, right?
The Amish country is the next county over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know, I've always wanted to ask someone who lives near them. What's up with those people? I mean, are they really as cloistered as they give you the impression, or do they have TVs and stuff in the back room?
Well, no. But what I will tell you is, you know, at the very back of my development, they're expanding, and a lot of the Amish are, if they're not farmers, they're carpenters.
Okay.
And so there's a lot of Amish guys that actually are on these construction crews. And I stopped one the other day, so it's interesting that you asked me this question. And I said to him, can I just ask you a personal question? How is it that you're able to work on the construction site with the equipment and the machinery and so on? Because, you know, they're not allowed to use electricity or modern equipment.
Right.
And he was not offended at all. And he just said, well, you know, they have permission to do it on the work site only. And they're able to ride in an automobile to get to the work site. It's not their car, but someone from the construction site picks them up. And so for the duration of the time that they're there, they are able to use modern technology, and then they have to leave it behind once they go home.
Juan, how much? You want to make a bet they're paying them like $2 an hour or something.
Slave labor.
No health insurance or anything. So,
but everything is about, you know, the whole clan, the family. And,
right. But don't they have this thing where, like, when you're 18, you can go and just live your life for, like, a year or something. You go out and just do all this kind of crazy debauchery, and then if you come back, then you're worthy of it, right?
Yeah, that's true. Well, some people go lose their minds, and...
and they don't come back.
Well, I think if you're...
It's too much fun.
If you're shunned from the group,
you don't want to be shunned.
You really can't come back unless you get permission from all the elders. Right.
I'm willing to take that risk.
So, Bill, listen, I want to thank you for joining us on the you know, the after party of the live audience show.
Yeah. Is it a bittersweet occasion for you?
Mac after Doc. Well, we're moving. You know, we're going to move with them. It's just that it'll be funny doing it in another studio. That's for sure.
Yeah.
You know, and probably
same show, different location.
Right.
That's all.
We're probably not going to find one that's right around the corner from a bar room either. You know, as someone said, you know, they saw 7 cars go around the corner and park from our parking lot.
Yeah.
Because we always go to the same place, and they're heartbroken, of course, that we're not.
Well, onward and upward.
Right.
So the next time that I get together with you fellows, we're going to talk about electronic voice phenomena.
Okay, all right.
And I hope to share some very, very unusual recordings that I have that were taped during private sessions with folks where you hear voices that neither myself or my client heard at the time the recording was being made.
That's creepy and interesting at the same time.
Yeah.
So, and when is the book coming out? Remind people of the title and when it's coming out.
Yes. Thank you, Mac. The title of the book is The Secret Language of Spirit. It is available for pre-order on Amazon.com now. It's, I think, at $14.99.
Mm-hmm.
And it will officially publish probably the beginning of November. I think the official pub date is November 20th, but you know they always come out a bit early.
Right, yeah, sure. Okay, so everyone out there, look for it. Go on Amazon and look for that Bill's latest book, but he also has a bunch of other books too. Thank you, Bill, for joining us, and we'll talk to you soon.
Always a pleasure.
So when it comes out, you know, we'll be in touch, okay?
Terrific.
Okay,
thanks
cool.
so much,
right.
And congratulations on moving up.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Bill.
Take
See you
care
soon.
Now.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, William.
Good night.
Okay.
Then that'd be interesting. We're going to have to find out the technical way to do that. But to have those kind of I know what he's talking about. You know, people actually go into haunted houses and they just leave a tape recorder on and then they take off. You know, leave the microphone on and they come back and there's all kinds of crazy stuff on it. People obviously talking and stuff. So I kind of look forward to that. So why don't we do that? Okay, so I'll tell you soon. Why don't we take a commercial break now, and we'll be right back after this. You're listening to Mac Maloney's Miltrax Files Show here on the Distant Thunder Radio Network. Hey, Juan, did you go to the beach a lot as a kid?
Yes, Mac, I sure did.
I have a feeling like as a youth you were like the 90-pound weakling and that the bullies used to kick sand in your face.
As a matter of fact, they did. I mean, I tried to pump iron back then, but I'd get pooped pretty quickly.
Oh, my God. Look at you two girly men.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
What are you doing here?
I'm here to make sure you read the ad copy for this fabulous new workout product called SEX that I can't endorse, but I'm sure works wonderfully.
Hey, Arnold, what was that thing with you and the maid?
Ugh, just do the ad.
Yeah, man, nailing the maid, that's a little fruity.
That's it. I'm going to turn you into 2 Vienna pretzels.
Cobra, save us!
I'd be glad to, gentlemen. What the boys are trying to say is, this is a new energy drink that can give you the extra endurance you need to get through your daily workout.
Yeah.
It's called SEX, for Strength Energy Accelerator. It comes easy to use. Just mix a scoop with water and drink 30 minutes before you start your workout, and you find you can last longer and feel all around better after finishing your regime.
Yeah.
The mix comes in many different flavors. Of course, my favorite is passion fruit.
Me too.
And it contains all the essentials you need to get over the top, whether you're trying to add muscle and bulk or just maintain your current physique.
You could look like me.
That's SEX, workout dietary supplement, available only through Cadillo USA. Visit CadilloUSA.com for more details. That's CadilloUSA.com and get some sex today.
Hey, what's going on in here?
Pistol Pete,
what are you doing here?
I told you guys, no partying in the studio. What are all these dumbbells doing here?
Hey, just because you own this place doesn't mean you can call me a dumbbell.
Oh, yeah?
Kick his ass, Pete.
Come on, I'm right here.
SEX workout powder, available only through CadilloUSA.com. Read instructions carefully before using.
I'm Christopher Walken, and you're listening to the Mac Maloney Military X-Files Show on Distant Thunder Radio Network.
Welcome back, everyone, to Mac Maloney's Military X-Files Show here on the Distant Thunder Radio Network. This is Mac Maloney. This is the continuation of the live audience show, Mac After Doc, the after party, 1-1 is here.
I'm enjoying it so far.
So far.
Except we're running out of snacks.
It's been a crazy night. They went quick, didn't they?
They
and
did.
Also, the Budweiser also went very quick. But We're still here to have some more fun. On the phone with us is Commander Cobra, of course, from a disclosed location.
Good evening.
Are you north or south? I guess we don't really don't know where you are.
I can't really discuss that.
Oh, right, that's even better. Okay. All right. And also on the phone with us is our weekly correspondent, Rob Beckhausen, from the murder capital of the world, graveyard of beloved presidents, Dallas, Texas. How you doing there tonight, Robbie?
Pretty good. Hello, gentlemen.
Okay.
Home of the surging Dallas Cowboys.
There you go. Now, I have, before we bring another guest in, I have to make a confession here. Maybe it's good that, you know, we have someone with a medical degree on.
That's right.
Because here it is. You ready? Okay. I don't hate Tony Romo on NFL.
Oh, yeah, he's good.
Today. Okay. Oh, whew, I'm glad it's just not me. Yeah, okay. Didn't you expect to hate him?
No, you're right.
What do you say, guys? You have enough input on that?
I expect to not like him a lot, actually. But,
really?
After hearing him a couple of times, you know, he's very knowledgeable.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not biased. Yeah, I think he's pretty good.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing. If you want to know how a quarterback looks at the game, just listen to him. It's like Eckes Leon pitching. You know, right. If you want to sit there and listen to it, you got it all there because he's all over it. So I expected to hate him, but anyway, that's just me. So, Rob, anything going on down there that's exciting?
In Dallas? Not really.
Okay, so good.
That's... Dallas people, you know, they don't get out much.
They don't get out much, really? Yeah, okay. Well, this is the murder capital of the world. I suppose that you'd spend most of your time.
They don't want to be eaten by wild dogs.
Right, and also 9,000 feral dogs running around. Well, I'll tell you what. This is kind of a surprise for you. When is your birthday? Isn't it close?
Oh, it's in February.
Okay, so. Well, that's close enough. Okay, so for our present to you, we have an expert on the line with us because, you know, we've been talking now for almost a year, one. The whole dishwashing incident happened in Thanksgiving, and we're almost into...
I know.
We are into October, actually.
That's right.
So almost a year ago, I should explain to you, is, you know, we were interviewing Rob, and we heard noise in the background, and we asked what it was, and he said, well, someone was doing his dishes. That has now become a mime, I think, as the kids say, okay? It's all over social media, but it means something else.
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Poor
it means
Rob.
Having coitus with someone, let's just be frank about
what?
It. And but then that was the beginning of the end, actually. So we ask you every week how things are going. We are not knowledgeable enough to help you through the problem, especially when you told us you were watching Loveline at 2 a.m. in the morning and you got a cat from Craigslist. So we got really kind of worried.
Certain items were on the checklist that had been hit.
Right. So
we thought it was time to step up the game.
As your early birthday present, or a late birthday present on the line with us, we have Dr. Carmen McGinnis, who is a relationship expert. This is our gift to you, Rob. Okay. Doctor, are you there?
It could be interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Doctor, are you there?
Hi, Rob.
Oh, there you go. Okay. All right. So
hello.
If you can get right up on the microphone or telephone, that would be excellent. Now, let me ask you this. Okay. Carmen, you don't know Rob, but he's in his, late 50s, Rob? Is that it?
I'm in my early 30s.
Early 30s. Okay. All right.
Close enough.
And it's really seemed like love back last Thanksgiving. But since then, as I've said before, kind of going down a little bit. You know, watching Loveline at 2 a.m. is really bad, but getting a cat and then naming him twice. What's his name this week? I know it was Chapo 1 week and then Boxer. What have you?
Yeah, I'm just calling him Cat right now. So.
Cat, see? Oh. Well, that's a bad sign, too. That's not healthy. So
the names haven't stuck. So, yeah.
So, Doctor, why don't I just let you ask Rob some key questions here, and we'll see if we'll be able to figure him out, okay, and help him?
Okay, I'll start with my favorite question. Rob, what's going on?
Well,
I am single, yes, and it's difficult because I work from home, so I'm a writer and editor, and you know, you get kind of trapped, you know, and go a little stir crazy. Mm-hmm. So I got to find a way of getting out more.
Okay.
So, I think that's the big problem. So.
So you'd like to be in a relationship then?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So. Other than working from home, what else do you do? And when you work from home, do you converse with other people? I mean, what's going on?
Yeah, well, that's true. And I've started going out a bit more. So, you know, I'll go out with friends and that kind of thing. So.
Okay. And he talks to us once a week, so.
Yeah, I have you guys, so. Yeah.
We're not quite sure if that's helping or hurting.
Probably not.
We're neutral right now.
Yeah, a little bit on the negative side, maybe. But please go ahead, Doctor.
Well, you have a huge audience here. Have you tried just, you know, putting it out there on the radio that you'd like to hear from people and meet people?
We
offered have not done that. No.
Right. Now, I have to, in our defense, we have offered to do that. Juan Coco, right?
Yep.
Yeah, we've offered to help him.
This is a platform for improvement of his love life.
Right,
for sure.
And instead he got a cat on CraigsList.
Well,
and
I think this might be a sort of race thing.
And you didn't discuss the cat with us before
no.
you got the cat. This
That's
was kind of a really rebellious kind of move on your part.
Basically pretty alarming when you think about it. So,
well,
go ahead, Doctor.
I'd like to say something about the cat. So women would be very much attracted to the fact that you have a cat. Women like men who are caregivers, men who are nurturing and take care of creatures and women.
So, okay. Doctor, does that mean he has to settle on a name to help set that up?
I think one way that he could certainly meet some people is to put it out there that he's looking for really good cat names. And I'll bet a lot of women are going to come to your rescue and provide some good ideas for cat names.
You know, we have another guest here with us, the Black Eyed Kid. What do you think of that idea to put it out there that you're looking for names for your cats to get girls involved? Interested?
Meow.
Post. Okay. It says it
also
all.
I forgot.
Is it male or female? Is it male or female? Oh, I forgot.
Don't even ask. What? Yeah. What? What's...
It's a male cat. Okay. I did not know that when I got the cat.
Oh, okay. Well, that's your story, so stick with it. Can what do you think of that, Doctor? Is that healthy to have? I mean, is it healthy to have really?
Fine.
I mean, I'm from the old school, I guess.
I'm
but,
a cat guy.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Yeah.
So you were an old school. I mean, I think among older men, older generation of men, cats are, you know, it's you know, what, you know, if you're a man, you're supposed to have a dog. If you have a pet. And cats were feminine, but I think things have changed.
Well, cats, that's why they call them a feline.
Wow. Yeah.
It's like having a tiny lion.
Oh, wow. That's one way you.
I think cats
that's a great
can,
spin on it
can
there.
Provide a very calming influence on you.
It's like, I don't have a cat. I have a tiny lion. I like that. That's, you know.
Yeah, there we go.
Actually good. So please, Doctor, please continue.
Well, I think we could set up some kind of a platform where the cat could get a name and women could find out that Rob is nurturing and caring and interested in names for creatures that he loves.
Wow.
And possibly have him meet a few women in the process.
So they would have the love of cats in common, in other words, is what we're saying.
Well, they don't right. necessarily have to have. I mean, I don't particularly love cats, but I am intrigued by the fact that Rob is interested in caring for this little animal. I find that very interesting.
Black Eyed Kid, do you like cats? Are you a cat person or no?
Depends. As a pet or dinner?
Okay. All right. See, once again, it's, you know, the good thing about him, he's a man, he's a kid, if you will.
He has no taste.
Right. Okay.
No eyes and no taste.
Wow. Okay.
But I'll have to tell you in all seriousness.
Okay, yes.
Tastes like chicken.
There's a feline rescue place right up the street from where I home base.
Yes.
In my IT work. And whenever I go in there to do some IT work for feline rescue, it's mostly women that are going to fill out the paperwork to adopt a cat.
Okay.
It's all cats.
Right. So you're saying Roger hang around?
I call it a cat house, but you know.
Oh, wait, hold, stop else. Now. Come on. Inappropriate. So you're saying Rob should hang around the cat shelter? Hang around outside?
She's the doctor's onto something.
Wow.
Or volunteer at the at an animal
place. Oh,
you go.
That's precious.
That's thinking outside the box.
All right.
Volunteer
so
the shelter.
Let's pretend he doesn't have a cat. Okay. What would you do, doctor, if he didn't have a cat?
Well, he has a tiny lion. That's just...
Well, he has a tiny lion. Okay. Good name for band, Juan. That might be it. The
tiny
lions.
Yeah.
They might be lions.
They might be lions, even. Mm.
Okay, all right. So if he didn't have a cat, if it wasn't about the cat, if we hadn't gone down the cat trail,
yes,
I would recommend that he do what we call behavioral activation, which is where we just start moving and then we see what comes up next. So getting out more is great. Mm-hmm. However, I would highly encourage you to get out with groups of mixed men and women and not just men.
Uh-oh.
Because a group of men can be a little intimidating
for a
woman.
They call it, the kids call it a sausage fest, right? Isn't that the medical term, doctor?
I don't know if there's a particular term for it, you know, if just imagine you're Rob's perfect woman and you're sitting there, you are, you're sitting at the bar in the restaurant or the coffee shop where you are.
Yes.
And a group of men is over there. You know, it's just a little intimidating. It's, you know, it's a group and it's one person, mm-hmm. or even a small group of women might be intimidated.
Yes.
So I would encourage mixed groups, you know, males and females.
Yep.
If you can get into such a group, Rob, I'm sure you won't have a problem doing that. Even if it means going out with your married friends, you know, that can work too. I've met a couple of nice men when I was out with groups of married friends.
Oh, wow. Okay. Doctor, can we ask you, are you married?
No, I'm not married.
Okay. Hey, how far are we? Are you from Dallas? Wait, like I said, one. Okay, please.
Well, I would say to her point, yeah, just a week ago, last weekend, I went out with a mixed group of friends and had a really good time. So.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, and it was
the fine good time. What do you mean? You got home early? That kind of a good time? No hangover?
Well, it was a Sunday. Yeah.
Sunday? I know you don't run on Sunday. What are you doing Saturday night?
You know, but you know, I met some interesting people, so. Be doing more of that, I think.
It sounds like an excuse, doesn't it, Doctor? I mean, you know, who goes out to meet interesting people? Really,
when you don't want to be. I don't think you should be. Maybe the doctor will back me up. You don't want to be too aggressive or too assertive. You just want to kind of be yourself.
This is sad.
And just be normal and be natural and just see how things
Black
develop.
Black-eyed kid, can you give him some romantic advice? You should know.
Yes. It's okay to go out on Friday and Saturday too and be relaxed. Not too relaxed because I'll be around watching.
Right. Being a pain.
He's everywhere.
Yep.
He gets really hungry.
Don't turn around.
Okay. When do you like to knock on doors the best, Black Eyed Child?
Halloween time or any other day that ends in Y.
Very good.
Okay.
Doctor, is it still cool to come up to a woman and say, you know, what's your sign?
It was never cool.
I know.
Yeah. Or tell the bartender, like, I want to pick up her drinks or something.
You know, doctor,
how do you break the ice?
Yeah, what's the best way to approach a woman in a bar?
Well, Rob? I completely agree with Rob that you don't want to be aggressive at all.
Sure,
or too assertive.
Right.
Conversation is the best way. If you're a listener, as I am, you know, I meet people, males, females, whoever, friends, who I just hear a bit of the conversation in the bar and I just sort of join in the conversation.
Wow.
And bartenders are really good at that sort of thing. Bartenders and servers are good at bringing people together because they want them to have a common platform right there at their bar so that they will come back again.
Well, see, this is always my question, though. You say just get in the conversation, but it's that first sentence, you know, it's make or break.
If he's at the bar and they're at the table, it makes it a little bit more difficult.
You don't want to overthink it. I mean, there's so many of these books out there where it says, here's the game plan as how to pick people up. And in a way, it's this overly mechanistic approach. Learn how to fly an airplane or something. Just be a – people want to be treated like human beings.
Well, Rob, right. If I could just have – since you brought the airplane part in there, be light on the controls, buddy.
Okay. I just want to ask you this question, okay?
Good advice.
That sounds like good advice, but, dude, you know, you're watching, you know, Loveline with a cat at 2 in the morning, you know?
Maybe
so
you
that
need
advice
to change
isn't
up.
Working.
Maybe get into some turbulent air, you know, just a little bit.
Right, exactly. Go for the crazy a little bit, you know?
Rob, what are we going to hear different between now and the next time taking the doctor's advice? What are you going to try to engage? What are we going to do? What's the place? Where are you going to go?
I'd bring the cat back. That's the first thing.
That's a good question.
Thank you. That's what I get paid the extra bonus for when I get the good question. Come on. Where are you going to go? What's the place?
I think I'm just going to, you know, keep on, you know, doing, you know, just, you know, go hang out with
my friends. You know what Einstein said about doing the same thing and expecting a different result?
Right. Drives
definition
you insane.
Of insanity. Right, so
exactly.
Let's work on name a place within walking distance. Is there a cat show coming up anytime soon?
See, there you go. And now you're back with the cats.
So.
You know. All right, listen, why don't we do this?
Look stuff up here while we're talking. Excuse me.
The doctor's... The doctor's advice was to put out on a platform. Look, they're already calling in now here for you, Rob.
His name is the first name for the cat.
Put out on a platform. Okay, Rob is looking for a really good name for his cat. So our female listeners out there, you know, just write in. You know, it doesn't mean you're going to marry him, but it's a first step.
Sure,
okay,
that'd be
especially
a good
if
idea.
You're down in Dallas, and you know, I wouldn't want a cat in Dallas anyway because you get all those dogs
feral
running
dogs.
Around, right? You know, that's the first thing they're going to eat, right? Black eyed kid, right?
Oh yeah,
yeah. See, he knows.
True.
Right. Okay. Have you ever
that
been?
Is true.
Do you have a girlfriend, black eyed kid?
I have lots of girlfriends. They don't know it yet, but that's okay.
I know, it's okay. It's always good to plan ahead. Doctor, hey, listen, thanks very much. I mean, is there anything else you can do for us, just generally?
I have one more comment.
Okay.
Somebody mentioned earlier that what is the first line? How do you get into
yes,
the conversation?
That was me. Yep.
Okay, I wanted to just point out for Rob that gaze, eye contact is often much more important than the first line.
I thought we went off track there.
That was G A Z.
Okay, all right. Okay, so that's another thing. It's like if you're in a bar and you see a girl looking at you, okay, you look away, and then if you see her looking again, you know what you're supposed to do? I just read this the other day. Yawn. Ever hear this?
No.
Because you know how when people yawn, you know someone else is yawning. If someone's interested in you and you yawn, they'll yawn.
All right. I think I may have the perfect situation for Rob.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. It is called pauseinthecity.org.
Pauseinthecity.com. Oh.
.org.
Cocoa.
It's an adoption event at Starbucks because he's a coffee drinker.
At Starbucks.
That's
where
true.
Else? Yes, where okay. else? Yes.
They have...
Wow, where'd he go? Are you making this up?
The next one is October 13th.
Oh, I thought he was
you
starting
the
yet.
Last one.
I just got to copyright the name. Oh, they really have them down in Dallas?
Yes.
What's it called? Coffee for Pause? What is it?
Pauseinthecity.org. Rob?
There you go, Rob.
Friday, October 13th, 8 p.m. to 11.
What day of the week
is it? At the Candelier Room.
Sounds like a Sunday.
39 Willis Avenue, Dallas, Texas. This is a great plug for them because you can purchase tickets.
We'll buy them for you. How much are they?
Hold on one second.
How much are they going to charge to a cat show at a Starbucks? Wine. Quick. What's the over under?
Oh, my goodness.
I have no idea.
Oh, my goodness. This is a masquerade.
Enough for a coffee.
Party.
Enough for a latte.
Good, please. How much?
General admission ticket is $40.
Oh, man, holy cow. Come on. Black Eyed Kid, would you pay $40 to go see a bunch of cats?
No, I get in for free.
At least you get a drink out of the deal.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, Rob,
holy cow.
I'm going to send you this.
All right, we're going to pay for this, Rob, okay? We will pay for your ticket if you agree to go in with a GoPro. How's that?
GoPro. I don't know what the doctor thinks about wearing a GoPro on my head.
What do you think, doctor? Can you give him just a permission slip?
I would say at a minimum it should be Google Glasses, but that's
okay. Well,
yeah. I don't like the GoPro idea. Oh. If Rob is really looking to meet women, I think he needs to use his very beautiful eyes and not worry so much about what the first line is. And Rob, don't look away and yawn. That's not a good approach.
Well, wait a minute. I just read that in the New York Post. I didn't. So should he bring the cat into the bar with him? There's something. No? Black Eyed Kid, you don't. Would you bring the cat into the bar, Black Eyed Kid?
No, because it would be like a Dr. Evil impression.
That's true. Okay. Like $1 million? Can you do Dr. Evil?
$1 million.
There you go.
Cobra, I see you have sent it to me. I have.
Okay.
Copy and receive.
Okay. Well, Rob, we're just here to help, man. We've told you that
like this,
over the months.
What more could you need?
Right. You know, and then when you do meet the girl of your dreams, have her on so we can meet her, right? Would you do that?
Yeah, it'd be up to her, but
okay.
The perfect answer. Don't you think, doctor? Doesn't that really just
I would tell him
belay the great quality of Rob that he wouldn't make a judgment like that? He would wait to, you know, to see what his other significant other felt about for coming onto the show.
Why don't we go?
Have any trouble meeting the woman of his dreams at all. He just needs to use his eyes, maybe a little bit of subtle laughter like he's done tonight. He's got a lovely voice. I think he's in pretty good shape here.
Wow, Rob, there you go.
You got a lot going for you, Rob.
There you go.
Listen to that.
Okay.
Seize the moment.
Rob, you still there?
Yeah, no, it's good advice, yeah.
Oh, yeah, taking
really,
down notes.
I mean,
Okay, super. Yeah.
All right, Rob, so the goal is by Christmas, you have somebody to go to the New Year's Eve get-together with.
There you go.
That's the goal.
Okay.
Throwing it out there. Well, Pause in the City is phase one, and I'll be working on the next phase.
Okay. All right. Well, Doctor, thank you very much. And there's one is actually showing me a webpage, Pause in the City. Yeah, the fact that it's at a Starbucks, man, you know, you go to the intersection, there'll be four Starbucks. Which one do you have to go into? Yeah. Right.
Well, there is an address. So
there is an address. Yes. Okay. Wow. Okay. Hey, listen, Rob, thanks very much for joining us and for us putting you through this, okay? And tell Boxer we said hello or whatever his name is, Cat. I like Cat. Cat's a little more direct.
It's Gatto.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a good, yeah, good one.
Gatto is good, yeah.
And Doctor, thank you very much for joining us. Is there anything that you would like to plug, if I can use that term?
What's your website, Doctor?
It's tippitytap.net. The only thing I really have to plug to a national audience, because I'm a psychologist, I see people locally.
Yes.
That I've written a little romantic and erotic romance. That.
Hello. Hello.
Can we book you again immediately? What's the name of it?
It's called Unintended Consequences.
Oh, yeah. I saw that movie. So, it's 20 minutes
Doctor,
long.
Doctor, one more time, your website, what was that site again?
It's tippitytap.net.
Tippitytap. Hey, you know what John Lennon used to say to the Beatles? They would say, where are we going? He'd say, we're going to the tippity-top. Are you a Beatle fan there, Doctor?
He said you go to the toppermost of the poppermost.
Oh, okay. One corrected me. I'm sorry. Okay. All right, I stand corrected. Thank you, Brutus.
TippityTap.net.
E2?
Yeah, E2, Brutus. A2? JJ? Right?
Oh, there it is. Unintended Consequences, psychological romance. Okay. Excellent.
I love this. Can you come on the show again and just walk us through the book?
Sure, I'll even do a live read if you're nice to me.
Oh, wow.
A live read.
Okay, we have so many authors in the...
So how many times per chapter... Does the couple have sex?
Okay, let's go. They used to tell me four times a book. So,
I haven't really done a count on how many times per chapter, but there is quite a lot of romantic
dishwashing
involved.
Dishwashing. A lot of dishwashing.
Wow, huh?
No dishwashing.
Is this from? We'll get into this in the next show. I'm just going to ask you: is this from personal experience, or is it a lot of research, or? Is that too forward of a question?
It's a fiction. It's a romantic fiction.
All right. They're the best kind.
But yes, I have had some personal experience.
Okay. All right. Well, then we'll do two segments then. Dr. Carmen, thank you very much. And we ask every time we have a doctor on, we ask them the same question. Juan, you know what it is?
No.
Do you have a prescription for medical marijuana that you can reference?
No, I can't help with that. I'm not that kind of doctor.
Oh, that's
Sorry.
What they all say. Okay. All right. Thank you, Doctor, for joining us and for your obvious sense of humor. And we'll talk to you very soon, okay?
Thanks for having me on.
Okay. Thank you. We should give the doctor, because it is
absolutely
the after party.
Doctor, give me the news.
Really? We will be talking to you soon, Doctor. Thank you.
We'll keep an eye on the book, too.
Okay. So there you go, Juan. You asked me to class up the show some time ago,
you did.
And here we are. Right?
Scored.
Yeah, we managed to keep her on the whole time. She
I know.
Didn't like hang up. That's
right.
Fantastic.
I can tell you, she's on the phone to her publicist right now, because that's how we booked it. And said, what did you get me into? She's a pro, but I got a feeling we'll never talk to her again. But however,
we've got a room full of authors here.
I know. Maybe that was it. The bad vibes.
That doesn't write anything.
That's a lot of negative energy, actually. So why don't we do this? Why don't we take a commercial break? And thank you to Rob Beckhouse out there in Dallas looking for something to do. I think we might have. Helped him a little bit down that path. So, Black Eyed Kid, you're saying no?
Was the last time Black Eyed Kid ate? He sounds like he may have hunger pangs.
When's the last time, let me translate, when is the last time you ate, Black Eyed Kid? You might have hunger pangs.
Well, I'm hoping to go out later to satisfy my hangry, because I can't find his Snickers.
Okay, all right. Another glimpse into the world of the Black Eyed Kid. So why don't we take a commercial break now, and you're listening to Mac Maloney's Military Exile Show here on the Distant Thunder Radio Network. We'll be right back after this.
America has lost World War III. Terrorists control the countryside. Air pirates rule our skies. The United States is no more.
But just when it seems like freedom is a thing of the past, a new hero emerges from the ashes. A true American who stands up for what's right. A fighter pilot who can defeat any foe, anytime, anywhere. He is the Wingman. Follow the adventures of Hawk Hunter, the Wingman, as he fights to revive the idea of America. Through 17 action-packed books, Hunter battles all those who would tread on old glory. In the air, on the sea, or on the ground, his dream is to put the United States back together again and get laid a lot while he's doing it. For some of the greatest aerial action you'll ever experience, strap in and hold on. Wingman by Mac Maloney. Now available for Kindles and Nooks on Amazon.com.
Hi, I'm Christopher Walken, and you're listening to the Mac Maloney Military X-Files show on Distant Thunder Radio Network.
What have we gotten ourselves into? Is that how many times have I asked that question? One tonight.
It's the peanut gallery, everybody.
This is a special edition of Mac Maloney's Military X-Files show, our first ever, and maybe ever, live audience show. It's been going on for hours, One. We've been here since...
It seems like it.
Anyway. We have a lot of interesting guests. We've already had a lot of interesting guests. But we have a special guest here.
Oh, yeah.
Sitting in with us special. Because it's a long story, but this is this radio station where we tape the show is actually has been bought, and they're moving up to Exeter, New Hampshire. So this will be one of the last shows that we've done here. But right down the street from here, there happens to be a bar called the Starboard Galley Restaurant Bar.
And it's an awesome place.
We live in a real foofy town. There's a lot of really foofy restaurants. Foofy. You know, and pretentious, crappy restaurants, overpriced and so on.
With crappy names.
But this place, it only because we're close by, you know, doesn't, you know, I've been going there for years. A lot of people have. It's called the Starboard Galley, and the proprietor is here with us. Is that the correct way? Is that your correct name of the day? Yeah. Right on that microphone there. Dave Greco, right?
How are you doing tonight?
Okay. The cool thing about Dave is that in the winter, the dead of winter, when we would be doing the show, and it would be snow and rain and, you know, cold,
a blizzard,
he would keep the home fires burning, meaning the hamburger grill burning for us, and we'd go down.
Right.
Like
there might be two people in the whole restaurant, right. And we'll call ahead and say, hey, man, we're dying for a burger. We'll be out of here in like 20 minutes. And
he'd stay open for
us. He'll keep the burger, and the staff guy who runs the grill.
He must have been real pleased.
I wouldn't close until I heard from Mac and Juan.
See that?
Tuesday nights.
So wow. Now your family is owned. It's called the Starboard Galley. Just come to Newburyport. Newburyport's a tourist town anyway, and it's nice here. You know, it is nice. It's right in the water, and there's a lot of good things about it. So anyone who comes to Newburyport, but go to the Starboard Galley. Don't get ripped off at these other restaurants. Now this restaurant's been in your family for a long time, right?
We're pushing 40 years.
We're pushing 40 years. Wow.
Wow, huh?
40 years this year.
And who started it? Is it your grandfather or your father?
My father bought it in 1978 during the blizzard of 78.
Oh, wow. Okay. And, 20 feet of snow.
He was pulling the hair out of his head that week. Yeah.
And it's a seafood restaurant, which a lot of people like, you know, but it's not a clam shack. It's a nice, really nice restaurant. And you're in a nice location.
Yeah, local favorite.
It has some pretty cool clientele besides us.
Oh, really?
True. We've watched them come in and out.
We've seen some very cool people show up.
Interesting.
I like how you guys drive. I like how you drive to the restaurant.
We drive,
it's a half a block away.
If it's even that far.
It's a caravan of cars leaving and then stopping right around the corner.
Next, I guess we should be going.
Yeah. But how many people walk in and out of the restaurant, Dave, on a typical day?
I mean, as many as 500, as little as, you know, 75 to 100 on a day. Like today, you know, you do 125 or so, I'd be happy with that.
Can you tell what kind of the restaurant business fascinates me only because they know that it's better left to people who have it in the family, right?
Yeah.
I mean, to start a new business, restaurant business is really hard.
I can kind of tell what people are ordering when they walk in the door.
Really?
You can sum them up right away.
I used to work in a drugstore, and I knew every person that walked in, they're looking for rubbers. I knew it the second they walked in the door. You know, they'd go.
That's probably the same thing, Matt.
Yeah, they buy some candy. They'd buy some cards. They'd buy some Drano.
Rubbers over there.
And, they
have and the rubbers are always behind the counter, locked up.
We had to wrap them up. And they take real slow to do it.
They get a guilty look on their face.
Yeah, there you go. You know, hey, at least they're getting laid, though, right? So how many people work down there?
55. We have
really?
50,
yeah.
Between 45 and 55 year-round employees.
Really? Yeah. Okay. So we've been going down there for years. Lois Lane and I love to go down there because, in my opinion, the good thing about a restaurant is that it's always the same. It's always consistent, and you don't see a large turnover help. You've had waitresses there that have been there for 30 years.
We're very
right?
lucky, yeah.
Yeah, and you kind of get to know them and everything. The food is always good.
The burgers are awesome. It's not like a burger joint. The burgers are tremendous.
You're ordering burgers and a seafood.
Yes, I know it.
Chicken fingers are good, too.
Chicken fingers are excellent. Yeah.
I've had, at times, what, two orders of chicken fingers back to back?
They disappear in about a minute.
We know that. I wanted to drive the conversation towards anything unusual that you've experienced at the restaurant.
Ooh.
In the realm of paranormal UFO, besides serving us.
Right.
Any strange...
No
yes.
joke. 5 minutes ago,
oh boy,
this girl comes in, orders a Jack and Ginger.
Yes,
breaks out in tears.
Oh
she
man,
is crying.
Can
her
you get a hold of her?
Bring
her up here.
Oh, yeah,
I'll take care of
her. Was she listening to the show?
And then she's pointing at another waitress that works there. This girl doesn't work there. And then she called her husband, and her husband came and picked her up.
What was she crying about?
I think it was man trouble.
Man trouble.
But
she had a boyfriend across the country or something.
Ago, like,
how old was she? Paint the picture for us.
She's a good-looking girl.
Oh, man.
Early 40s.
Of all the time to do a late
show.
Yeah. Yeah, really? Seen it before? So she just... She owes a jacket.
I was trying to keep her there, but she wanted to go.
Oh, no, it's okay.
She wanted her boyfriend to pick
her up. The effort is...
Wait a minute. Who picked her up?
I think the boyfriend. The boyfriend, yeah.
Yeah?
You think?
Yeah.
Wow. So do you see that kind of stuff down there? I mean...
Do you see that stuff? I mean, yeah. Unfortunately, earlier tonight, some guy's
like
sleeping
that,
on the bar, and I'm like, buddy, you gotta wake up.
You can't do that.
Yeah, you can't be sleeping. I pretty much told him, time to go.
But when you see people coming in with their troubles, do they have, because you're the bartender down there, they have to unload their troubles on you?
That's the old school bartender. Yeah, you get that from time to time. You do.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy cow. What do you do? Just tell them to forget it, buy another drink?
Yeah, really.
Okay. Barbara, you've been in restaurants all over the world, right? What'd you think of the Starboard Galley?
You were there.
I thought it was nice and homey. It had a lot of character to it. I really enjoyed the ambiance that was down to earth, very down
to earth.
It's a local spot. Yeah. People that grew up in Newburyport enjoy it there, as opposed to some of these new. It seems like every weekend there's a new
restaurant
opening up. So,
and
I like when
just
the Coasties come in.
I like the Coasties
from the boat station.
They're good guys.
Yeah,
the who?
The Coast Guard station.
Oh, the Coast Guard.
Yeah, we're doing a job for them at the Maritime Museum this weekend.
The first Coast Guard station in the United States is right here in
Plum Island. Yeah.
So you do catering too?
Yes,
they do catering. Cool. Yep. And you have that lighthouse. What's your relationship with the lighthouse? There's a lighthouse here that stands above everything else. You can go up there and have dinner for like $500
it's
or something.
Very good, though. I've seen a lot of
anniversary
proposals. I bet you 25 proposals up there.
Right.
Any alien spaceships at the lighthouse?
Occasionally, yes.
What do you do if you have to take
any
a whiz,
ghosts
though?
In the lighthouse?
That's
anything paranormal.
You got to come down. You got to take the stairs.
You have to. Yeah. So if you're up at this lighthouse, it's a very romantic scene. Yeah. Just don't drink a lot of beer.
Stairs, yeah.
Because you got to go down the stairs into your restaurant.
Yeah, we have people fly in to go and dine in that lighthouse. Yeah,
well, people just go
popular.
Nuts.
Are they flying in flying saucers to go to the lighthouse?
He's trying to drag about
anything paranormal?
He has a UFO burger. How's that? Does that qualify? Have you ever seen a UFO, Dave? Ever seen anything strange?
I have not seen a UFO. I can't say I have.
Ghosts or anything like that?
What's your belief? What do you think? Think it's real? Not what?
I think yes. I think there's something out there.
He thinks
there's
we're nuts when we walk in.
Yeah.
No. Hey,
let's face it.
He wears the T-shirts.
I saw a ghost once at the garage. He took my order and disappeared. Never saw him. do you go to any other restaurants in Newport?
Yeah. You know what though? I kind of keep it local. I like the grog. I like the Park Lunch.
It was a kind of luncheonette from the 50s. Yeah. But I like that. But I mean, there are some restaurants that open up in Newport. They only stay open for 2 or 3 months, as you say. And they just think that they can just charge $100 for, you know.
They close down too early.
But they learn come January, February.
Forget it.
The streets aren't paved in gold, as they look like they are in July or August.
But the sum is huge here. Is that your best month, July and August?
Absolutely.
Okay. And how much do you really get those lobsters for?
Depends. Yeah, Price varies.
Okay. All right. But you do have that lobster sandwich, two lobster rolls for $20, man. Yeah, that's great. They would buy them, bring them home to the lowest money. Oh, here she is calling now.
She wants you to bring one home.
Hey, Dave, thanks for coming up and chatting. And also, thank you for leaving the grill open for us all this time. Okay,
maybe I'll see you later tonight.
Yeah, probably. But we feel bad that we're not going to be coming down there on a regular basis, But,
No, we have to come down other times.
Time moves on. We should have our board meeting there. How about that?
Well, we still work around the area.
Thanks, Dave.
I do.
It's the Starboard Galley in Newburyport. It's right on the water. It's on Water Street.
Yes.
Okay. What a coincidence.
Yeah. Starboard Galley. Just really good seafood. Just as Barbara said, a real kind of nice, comfortable place. We go in there, we sit in the booth. We have a great time. Yep. The food is good. The prices are good. The help
this
is good.
This booth says a bar. He's a bartender,
nice bar.
Too.
You got Keno in there now. It's excellent.
Big screen TVs. All the sports are on.
Yeah, sports are always on. Man, you really do it right. I'm not kidding.
They got an outdoor patio. They got all kinds of nooks and crannies. They got an upstairs.
Cool. The Starboard Galley in Newburyport. If you're ever town, just go there, and David will buy everything. He'll pick up the bill. If I can drink up, eat all those lobsters, he'll pick up the bill. Okay, Dave, thanks for joining us.
Thanks,
we really appreciate
thanks for having
it.
Me.
Hey, Dave, you're the man.
Let's take a commercial break now, there, Juan.
Okay.
And we'll be right back after this. You listen to a special edition of Mac Maloney's Military Exile Show.
With a live audience.
On the Distant Thunder
Radio Network.
We'll be right back after this. Hey, Juan, did you go to the beach a lot as a kid?
Yes, Mac, I sure did.
I have a feeling like as a youth you were like the 90-pound weakling and that the bullies used to kick sand in your face.
As a matter of fact, they did. I mean, I tried to pump iron back then, but I'd get pooped pretty quickly.
Oh, my God. Look at you two girly men.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
What are you doing here?
I'm here to make sure you read the ad copy for this fabulous new workout product called SEX that I can't endorse, but I'm sure works wonderfully.
Hey, Arnold, what was that thing with you and the maid?
Ugh, just do the ad.
Yeah, man, nailing the maid, that's a little fringy.
That's it. I'm going to turn you into two Vienna pretzels.
Cobra, save us!
I'd be glad to, gentlemen. What the boys are trying to say is, this is a new energy drink that can give you the extra endurance you need to get through your daily workout.
Yeah.
It's called SEX, for Strength Energy Accelerator. It comes easy to use. Just mix a scoop with water and drink 30 minutes before you start your workout, and you find you can last longer and feel all around better after finishing your regime.
Yeah.
The mix comes in many different flavors. Of course, my favorite is passion fruit.
Me too.
And it contains all the essentials you need to get over the top, whether you're trying to add muscle and bulk or just maintain your current physique.
You could look like me.
That's SEX, workout dietary supplement, available only through Cardillo USA. Visit CardilloUSA.com for more details. That's CardilloUSA.com and get some sex today.
Hey, what's going on in here?
Pistol Pete,
what are you doing here?
I told you guys, no partying in the studio. What are all these dumbbells doing here?
Hey, just because you own this place doesn't mean you can call me a dumbbell.
Oh, yeah?
Kick his ass, Pete.
Come on, I'm right here.
SEX workout powder, available only through CardilloUSA.com. Read instructions carefully before using.
UFOs are found in Renaissance art, on ancient coins, and etched on cave walls. They're even reported in the Bible. But more surprising is when UFOs are seen the most, in times of war. Through centuries, thousands of UFO sightings have been made by high-ranking officials, military pilots, and ordinary soldiers. Often, these fantastic appearances occur at the height of great battles. From World War I to D-Day to Korea, Vietnam, and beyond, military investigators are baffled. Why do UFO sightings spike so drastically during wartime? Could it be mistaken aircraft, or is someone or something looking in on us? In UFOs in Wartime, What They Didn't Want You to Know, Mac Maloney chronicles centuries of these incredible sightings and tries to solve the puzzle of why so many UFOs are seen while humanity is at war. Read about the scare ships, the ghost planes, and the ghost rockets, alien giants in the jungles of Vietnam, UFOs controlling our ICBM bases, dogfights with flying saucers during the Gulf War, and more. 300 pages of unbelievable stories, along with many startling photographs. That's UFOs in Wartime, What They Didn't Want You to Know, by Mac Maloney. On sale at your local bookstore or on Amazon.com.
Can't handle the truth. Only Commander Cobra can handle the truth.
Welcome back, everyone, to Mac Maloney's Military Exile Show here on the Distant Thunder Radio Network. Hey, this is Mac Maloney. This is our special audience night. First time we've ever done it before a live audience. Is our audience still there?
They're still alive.
Well, where'd all the girls go? It's like a sausage party.
No, maybe there's a vent going on up the street.
There you go. Get to us over for
I'm
some
here.
Event. Oh, Barbara, yeah, I'm Barbara's sorry. Yes, yeah. Anyway, Barbara Wythe is joining us from up there in Michigan. And great,
Michigan, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, same Wisconsin. Thing. Same thing.
Yeah.
What are you drinking there?
Barbara, Barbara Wythe is in Michigan.
Is that
it's Barbara Wythe.
Barbara Wythe.
Yeah, Barbara Wythe.
Why am I seeing him? Wisconsin. You know? That's
because every time he talks,
oh wow,
that get the hint goes, and when Barbara talks, her picture shows.
What are you
up.
Drinking there? It looks like some Bosco and milk, Barbara. Is that
oh
right?
No, it's just a little stuff. But you know, you're going to get addicted to this, like live applause.
Wait, really? Yeah. Oh yeah, it's like adrenaline.
I want to have it all the time.
It's
now.
Like fentanyl.
No, we'll tell you what, we'll can it.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We'll sweeten it up. You never know.
We'll have
Don't
the applause
you have it
button.
On your thing?
There you go. Yay. Oh well, hang on. Yikes. I did, but I got some ointment.
Don't give him the left try.
Before we,
right, Ross.
Before we start the same way, we just
went. There's a British accent in the room. Who could that be?
We want to.
Well, Commander, you might guess.
See, the thing about Ross is his accent classes up the show to a point that it really shouldn't be there. You know what I mean?
It's too classy. Is that what you're saying?
Too classy is what I'm saying.
It's too highbrow.
Hey, listen. I just want before we start the same way with Ross and Barbara. Just want to say hello to a friend of the show. Barry Keith is here with us.
Hey, Barry.
Hi, how are you?
Good. And this is all your fault, Barry, as you know. Okay, you wrote to me some time ago, and you just said you ever do a show before a live audience, right?
I did.
And had we ever talked about that, Juan, Comer, in the
no.
15 years we've been together? How long have we been together?
Is it going to be off-air yelling at
it's
us?
It's like
we're not
12
doing
or so.
12,
yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah. You don't look a day older for some
Thanks,
reason.
I know it. I work out.
So
it's that avocado ice cream I eat.
Yeah, right. There you go. Could Tom Brady do anything bad? I suppose
he doesn't drink coffee.
But suppose if he got caught in a Ponzi scheme or something.
He doesn't eat anything that's nightshade, like tomatoes and whatever else is in the nightshade.
Suppose if he got caught up in some kind of hedge fund controversy or something like that. Would that bother you? How about how about if he had something on the
you know,
side?
If he jaywalks across the street, it bothers me.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, well, man, that's lovely.
That's how awesomely perfect he is.
Yeah, okay. All right.
How about if he married a supermodel? Would that do anything wrong?
Well,
that would really enhance
me. He still has to do that because I'm I'm of the opinion that the emperor has no clothes when it comes to Giselle. Wait a minute, Barry, you have a Patriot shirt on. What do you think of Giselle, if you don't mind us asking?
I think she's a 10. She's
really?
One of my
yeah.
Favorites. Absolutely.
Let me ask you a question. Every time someone answers that question with that answer,
you say, have you ever seen
her sister?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
I haven't seen her in person. And I'd say she's maybe a little bit, she might be an 11.
There you go.
I detect a spinal tap.
Okay. Yeah.
So anyway. Well, it's one more, isn't it?
Okay. I know.
Yes, all right. Yeah. I had an air conditioner once when I was going, and it went up to 11.
It did. Yeah. The knob was
Westinghouse, broken. Westinghouse, yeah. With those Westinghouse guys saying, hey, we'll give it more time. No, just put an 11 on there. You know. Anyway. So, Barry, hey, listen, thanks for joining us. And as it turns out, you grew up close to UFO comedian Phil Yeah's house, right?
Yeah, grew up with his family. I went to school with, all through school with his cousin, which nice. I just found out. And It's a small world. It's right. Many years ago.
And where are you now, in North Reading?
I'm in North Reading.
Okay, North Reading is close to where we are. What, take about an hour to get here, maybe?
No, it took about 30 minutes.
Oh, not bad. Okay.
Yeah, no,
because it was funny, the night when we were pulling names out of the Magic Fishbowl, and they were from California, they're from Arkansas, they're from Canada, Northern Ireland and stuff, and all of a sudden North Reading comes up, and we go, wow.
I know
where
that is. Yeah, right. I know what exit that is.
We've been there. Yeah, right, exactly. So
I've gone to the movies there at the IMAX.
A big Patriots fan, obviously.
Obviously, right? Yeah. I'm a big sports fan of all of Boston.
Red Sox kind of blow, though, right, in a way?
Compared to the Patriots.
Yes, right. People think that everyone up here is into the Sox. It isn't. It's a Patriots thing
it
up
is.
Here.
It's
you
amazing.
Don't understand. Baseball is a speed bump to the Patriots. Mm-hmm. Believe me, people get more into the Patriots than the Sox. And they're very passionate about the Bruins, too. If the Bruins do anything, people really get into it. You know, South Sox, you know.
Well, because there's a lot of action to them. You know, the Red Sox put you to sleep.
Right, yeah. They do.
Yeah, this year. I'm surprised they're in first place.
It's only because the Yankees aren't that good. That's the only reason, you know. And it's like it's been such a dull year, you know. They've been, you know, do something. Win 20 in a row, like.
Hey, Ross. What do you think of those cricket scores?
There you go. Hang on.
Well, not too bad.
Did you say that was the magic word?
I actually played cricket in the Royal Air Force League, which is quite amazing. I was 14 seasons in the minors. I was never going to be an A player, so that's life. But I've still got the messed up hands because.
Okay. Wow. What? We came in the middle.
What happened, Ross?
You there, Ross? My buddy. Wow. See, I knew bringing up the sport of cricket would, you know, kill his transmission because you're there, Ross. Have you ever watched a cricket match? Have you ever watched cricket? You think baseball is slow, baby, and you think the rules?
You should try the 20 over stuff, the one day. That under lights at night.
Are you talking about scotch now?
No, he's talking about cricket still.
Okay, so listen,
By
I just want to.
When you speak of the Yankees,
yes,
my late father-in-law played for a certain ball club.
Really?
The minors, yes, immediately before World War II.
Huh. Wow, huh?
Yeah. Great guy, and. I understand that one of his best games came in an intra-squad game, the big club playing the minors in Sarasota, I think in summer of 1938. And Lou went big. He went 2-for-4 with a solo home run.
Wow.
Sorry, 3-for-5, my wife corrects me, with a solo home run. And as he's rounding the bases on his home run trot, first baseman leans in, smacks him in the middle of the back, and says, "That's the way to hit him, lefty."
Yeah, yeah.
Lou Gehrig.
Whoa.
Wow.
Exactly.
Freaking Lou Gehrig.
Wow.
Wow, what a punchline. That's excellent. You know, Russ, I suppose I should introduce you now.
So I'm a Yankee fan by marriage.
Wow, huh? That's bigger you to admit that in Red Sox Nation or, you know, Patriots Nation.
It's quite easy.
But listen, I just wanted to introduce you. This is our friend Ross Sharp from The Cutting Edge. He's on. We do specials with him, and he's on the regular show here, Mac Maloney's Military Exile Show, occasionally. And I should tell everyone in the posse that the special we did on Nazi super weapons has been just playing like everywhere.
Yeah,
everywhere. You know, that went out as a special. We're going to do it on this network soon, but that went out as a special, and people writing back saying, you know, this is great. We love Ross. Ross is a big.
I think they're going to use the show as part of a lecture lab series in college.
Yeah, perfect. Well, we really have to go high class then. I was thinking about how am I going to introduce Ross today because he has this incredible memory and he just knows a lot about Latin. So I thought I would go John, Paul, George, Ringo, Keith, and then Ross, right? As far as, you know, counting down the top 10 of British people.
Putting Keith ahead of Ross? Wow.
Actually, Mac, I must interrupt here. Okay. I share a birthday, believe it or not, with George.
Really? Yeah?
Yeah, 25th of February.
Huh, wow, huh?
Yeah.
Well,
and
I'm looking for somebody who can talk to
first
George.
Name that I don't use, which is identical.
and
I am G. Ross Sharp.
What was I mean? You know, we grew up in the era of the Beatles. Looks like everyone in this room and everyone in that room, you know, grew up when the Beatles were, you know, hitting big. And we're in America. What was it like in England? Or were you even around?
Oh goodness, yes. I was. Let's see. I'd been in grammar school at that stage. And roughly equivalent of Boston Latin. And lo and behold, it was just as big and just as insane. We were about 65 miles away from Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
And I might say, if anyone asks you what is the most concentrated accent in the British Isles in many ways, it's the Liverpool accent.
Really?
If you're a Liverpudlian, mm-hmm. and it's like a donut hole. You got about a diameter of about 30 miles in which the accent completely dominates.
Mm-hmm.
But, and beyond that, it changes.
But isn't that true, like, with all through England? I mean, there are Cockney accents, there are Liverpudlian accents. I mean, and you know immediately when someone starts talking. I mean, a British person knows immediately when someone starts talking where they're from, right?
Yes, usually. Hmm. I'm one of the few dialect speakers left in my particular accent group.
Okay.
There are about 25,000 of us. Hmm. I speak a variety of a Derbyshire accent.
Oh, okay. All right.
It has lots of Norse words in it.
Right.
And it's almost incomprehensible to a lot of people.
And do people from Liverpool, I mean, do people in England consider people from Liverpool, can it be from the Hicks? Because you always say, oh, these guys are from Liverpool.
No, it's a huge seaport city. Mm-hmm. It really is enormous.
But they look down on them.
Many people from the USA emigrated from ships from Liverpool.
Okay.
Right. People from the continent of Europe took crossings, came on railways, mm-hmm. and went to Liverpool, and then boarded emigrant ships from the port of Liverpool.
Right, right. I'll tell you, Ross, you know, we're going to do a show with you coming up soon where we're just going to have you on, and we're going to, like, throw 20 questions at Ross on anything, you know, and see what he says. But I just want, this is something I've always wanted to ask you, and, you know, I don't want to suck the funny out of the room, but... You know, when Princess Diana died, okay,
right.
was that an accident or was that some kind of black ops thing going on there?
Well, since the driver's the only one that survived, I think the idea of distraction by the paparazzi who were following the car
mm-hmm.
was the main cause of the accident.
Okay.
And it was a very high-speed crash into the pillar at the side of the tunnel.
Right.
I
mean,
yeah.
There are stories that, you know, that people saw a car in front of them flash a very bright light behind them, blinding the driver and causing the crash. And supposedly the British Secret Services have, like, these types of things and have used them in the past.
There's been several theories on this, but I'm the one for a paparazzi using a flash camera that mm-hmm. went alongside on a motorcycle.
Right. Okay.
And that would have the same effect.
I don't want to, you know, again, you know, put you on the spot, but, you know, could you explain, like, the royal family to us, you know? I mean, the Queen.
Oh,
I mean,
goodness.
Do
the
you
House
like
of
her?
Windsor.
Do you like her?
The House of Windsor is the culmination of an awful lot of aristocratic, shall we say, inbreeding, with various branches coming in yes. from all different directors.
Secret word of next week.
And it's the current royal family is basically German.
Yes.
And indeed, there's their real name would be the House of Saxe, Coburg, Gotha.
Yeah.
All hyphenated.
I get my coats from them. Go ahead.
Yeah. And there's a marvelous line in one of the episodes of one of my favorite TV series called Blackadder.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Blackadder
right.
goes forth, the World War One series. When Blackadder is interrogating a potential spy, a fellow British officer, he said, "Don't be silly, I'm as English as Queen Victoria." And Blackadder said, "Let's see, so you married a German, your father's German, and you're half German?"
Well, like in World War One, there were cousins fighting each other, right? I mean, the guy who ran Russia.
In World War Two. Also,
wow.
Prince Philip's cousin was an officer in the SS.
Wow. Wow. Oh, man. I hate to hear that. So just do you like the Queen? Is she someone that you like, or is she just kind of like...
I really liked her mother. Mm-hmm. I met her mother.
Okay.
I've also met Prince Charles.
Okay.
The RAF station that I was at was a very... useful place for the royal family to transship from aircraft onto a road convoy, because you could be on four or five major highways inside 5 minutes,
cool.
going east, north, west, or south.
Yeah, right.
And the security service loves that, because mm-hmm, once you're on a motorway, of course, they can control all the traffic, and they put a convoy in, they proceed at what speed they want to.
Right. You know, not to change the direction too obliquely, is that the word?
Oblique, yeah.
Okay.
Not to divert the topic.
Yes, right. Okay, thank you very much. There,
that's think. Increase your word power. With
someone there was a secret word. I don't know which one. But anyway.
You can't speak it in Latvian or whatever.
Estonian.
Estonian. Or, you miss.
Oh, he can.
He can.
Everybody's multilingual. Wow. Okay.
Why are we here? So anyway, but our...
I can speak Latin.
Barbara is... do you want to say it? Ekonsiertur,
yeah.
Do you want?
Yeah.
That's the class phone number?
Yeah.
Barbara's on the line with us, and
Semper
she actually talked to Diana at one point.
That's right. Barbara talked to Diana.
From beyond the grave.
Could you just tell us in the thumbnail what she had to say?
She corroborated what Ross said, was that it wasn't any big plot against her, even though there was a lot of threats against Doty, but that was just sort of normal for the course of business of who he was and who his family was, but that she explained kind of intricately about how they had this sort of... like there was this chase now. Right. They're being chased. And they had this kind of omnipotent feeling that, you know, they could outrun them. And so there was this competitive thing that went on, mm-hmm. and then it all went out of control. And...
Yeah, it wasn't the first time that the paparazzi were chasing them. No. I imagine they were getting chased all the time.
Right, yeah. Right. It wasn't any kind of plot.
And the guy inside the...
So did Diana indicate it was some kind of an... inside threat that maybe she was going to be off at some point in time?
No.
Okay.
No, it was just a random night where, and she goes into detail about what her and Doty were talking about at dinner, mm-hmm. which was also kind of interesting. But they came out of the restaurant and there, you know, here we are again, and you can't imagine how incredibly frustrating it is to have to live your life in this way, and so sometimes you get a little cocky and you think, we'll just outrun the...
Right, yeah, right. I mean, the way I look at her is that, first of all...
I was devastated when that happened.
She
stayed home from work for days and, you know, watched the parade.
What's the matter with you?
I don't know. It was just like
I am a
sensitive guy. I was really wicked sensitive about it.
Really?
Well, okay. I
won't bring it
well,
up.
Well, the story, you know, I had an old girlfriend that was from the UK, and she, you know, we broke off and stuff, but she had a kid with another guy. Uh-oh. How dare she?
Yeah.
And she followed the royal family like she followed the Beatles.
Really, yeah?
And she named her daughter Windsor.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
This is really...
I met her many years later, my ex-girlfriend, and I met the daughter... when she was about 20.
I just want to say this. Is in Ross, you could probably answer this better than anyone else, mm-hmm. okay? When Diana knew that she was going to get married to Prince Charles, okay? Mm-hmm. She must have had some kind of sense of history that knows that, you know, that whole kind of, all of those people, they get married as a marriage of convenience. Basically, you know that he's going to go out and have his mistresses. She goes and has her mistresses, and that and things go along. You know, they're there for ceremonial reasons. I mean, that it, whether they know it or not, that is the history of it. Why wasn't she tuned in on something like that?
For all the listeners in the UK, I do not believe Mr. Maloney is trying to indicate that Princess Di had a lesbian tendency when he said mistresses.
Where did that come from?
He must be listening to another show.
There you see the sacred word.
And she would have her mistresses. That's where it came from.
No, is that what I said? Oh, that's it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Who's that doctor?
Really class up the show. Thanks, Ross, for coming.
Did I say that real?
No problem.
There's a bumper. There's a bumper.
Well, Spencer, obviously... she was of the class of an individual that the royal family would look at in terms of being a suitable marriage. Several other individuals from around the European royalty circles were suggested. I believe the daughter of the Grand Duke of Luxembourg was posited at one time, but unfortunately she was a Catholic. And believe it or not, although I believe things have been eased a great deal now, the potential heir to the throne is not allowed to marry a Catholic, mainly due to the fact that the sovereign is the titular head of the established Church of England.
Right.
So, after all, there have been several
wars fought in the UK over religion, to put it mildly.
Oh, yeah, and, for sure.
That's one of the reasons why they did that.
Hey, this is Brian.
So yeah, lots of potential brides were looked at, shall we say.
And I think the Prince William, is that the next guy, the guy who's in line after the guy who's in line, right? Is that Prince William? He's the helicopter pilot, so they say. In my opinion,
he's fixed wing, actually.
He kind of keeps it down low. I mean, you see him every once in a while. They are basically a PR front, okay? But she seems nice. He seems, you know, and you know, who knows, you know, in 20 years when he's the king,
if I can meet anybody, number one on my list is Prince Harry, his brother. I think he is one of the coolest dudes out there.
Wow.
He did a great job when he was in Afghanistan, and the work he has done for injured
servicemen.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just it is stupendous.
See, that's where they come in good. That's where they actually earn their keep.
If I might say one thing, Mac, I think the main reason for having a queen as a head of state is not who she is. It is the titles that she has, the roles that she occupies, that prevents the establishment of, say, a dictatorship or other things. You know, because she's theoretically, as well as being the head of the Church of England, she's also titular head of the army, and other royals are honorary commandants of regiments, etc., etc., etc. And this is sort of a nice blocking maneuver, if you like, and that's what happens in a parliamentary democracy.
Right, right.
And when the Queen sits there and gives the Queen's speech at the start of every parliament, she says, "My Parliament will," and it doesn't matter what party is in power.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I'm starting to like her. I like her better already. Hey, Russ, listen. Thanks for joining us tonight on our live audience show. Okay.
No problem. If I can just say one word.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Encourage all the listeners to please go on Google and just type in two words, People's Mosquito.
Right.
Right. You'll find that I'm the director of engineering, but much more importantly, we are restoring a World War II mosquito fighter bomber to fly.
Right,
one of the coolest. Go on there, lots of video, lots of good stuff.
Coolest aircraft in World War II.
On that,
It went so fast because it was made of wood. I think that's, I think that's British genius / extrinsic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who would make a fighter bomber made of wood? But they did, and it was like 100 miles faster than anything else, man. It's cool. Hey, Ross, thanks for joining us. That's People's Mosquito. Just Google it. We're going to be talking to you soon about the next special. The other one's a hit, so, we got to keep the hits going there.
That's right. The hits just keep on coming.
Thanks for joining
us, Mac. It's been a pleasure.
Out there in merry old Metro West.
Nice as always, you all.
Okay, we'll talk to you soon. Okay.
Bye, Ross.
Bye, everyone. Man.
There goes Ross. I'm going to throw this to Barry because you must be Irish, are you?
You bet.
Yeah, okay. How can I tell? What do you think of the Queen? I mean, really.
I don't want to say on the radio, but she's not one of our favorites.
Yeah, right. Right. I mean, it's just the way, that's history again,
Oh, absolutely.
I know there's
some. Can't we let bygones be bygones over
nope,
there?
Nope, never.
Wait, no. Holy See? Cow.
Wow.
You've been talking to Agent X, apparently. So, anyway, all right, listen, why don't we take a commercial breakdown there, 1-1? And we'll be right back with another array of guests. You're listening to Mac Maloney's Military Exile Show, our special live audience broadcast. We'll be right back after this. Hey, Juan, did you go to the beach a lot as a kid?
Yes, Mac, I sure did.
I have a feeling like as a youth you were like the 90-pound weakling and that the bullies used to kick sand in your face.
As a matter of fact, they did. I mean, I tried to pump iron back then, but I'd get pooped pretty quickly.
Oh, my God. Look at you two girly men.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
What are you doing here?
I'm here to make sure you read the ad copy for this fabulous new workout product called SEX that I can't endorse, but I'm sure works wonderfully.
Hey, Arnold, what was that thing with you and the maid?
Ugh, just do the ad.
Yeah, man, nailing the maid, that's a little fringy.
That's it. I'm going to turn you into two Vienna pretzels.
Cobra, save us!
I'd be glad to, gentlemen. What the boys are trying to say is, This is a new energy drink that can give you the extra endurance you need to get through your daily workout.
Yeah.
It's called SEX for Strength Energy Accelerator. It comes easy to use. Just mix a scoop with water and drink 30 minutes before you start your workout, and you find you can last longer and feel all around better after finishing your regime.
Yeah.
The mix comes in many different flavors. Of course, my favorite is passion fruit.
Me too.
And it contains all the essentials you need to get over the top, whether you're trying to add muscle and bulk or just maintain your current physique.
You could look like me.
That's SCX, Workout Dietary Supplement, available only through Cardillo USA. Visit CardilloUSA.com for more details. That's CardilloUSA.com and get some sex today.
Hey, what's going on in here?
Pistol Pete, what are you doing here?
I told you guys, no partying in the studio. What are all these dumbbells doing here?
Hey, just because you own this place doesn't mean you can call me a dumbbell.
Oh, yeah?
Kick his ass, Pete.
Come on, I'm right here.
SCX Workout Powder, available only through CardilloUSA.com. Read instructions carefully before using.
After the events of 9/11, we thought America would never be the same. Our homeland was attacked. Our fellow Americans killed by terrorists. It seemed like all hope was lost. Until a special group of patriots came together and defied the Pentagon and vowed to take revenge, but in their own way. They took the battle to the terrorist doorstep, turning the tables on the murderers, fighting with no rules, taking no prisoners, until they became terrorists themselves. This is the story of the Super Hawks, soldiers so secret even the president didn't know they existed. Their mission was to kill Bin Laden, but they wound up saving the world. Super Hawks, a new series for Kindles and Nooks by Mac Maloney, available on Amazon.com.
I'm Sean Connery, and you're listening to the Mac Maloney Military X-Files Show on Distant Thunder Radio Network.
All right, okay. Wow, we're back. We're back. It was funny, one of the applause looks different on the recorder, doesn't it?
Look how sharply spiked it is.
Hey, you're back.
That's cool.
At Mac Maloney's Military Exile Show, the live audience show after you're at the after party, okay? And on the phone with us is a good friend of ours, a super fan, Barry Keefe of North Reading, Massachusetts.
Yes, North Reading. I was through North Reading the other day.
Thanks for the invite.
Our hometown.
We had a great time there.
A few hours ago, right? Yes. Okay.
And we're still having
it. It was really nice because we got to meet the crew.
Yes.
You know, matching a face with the voices.
Okay, yep.
You know, and most importantly, you put out a great spread there with that beer refrigerator full of beer.
Yeah, that was. That was a good spread.
As it turned out, not all of it was ours. But it went anyway, you know, which is okay.
But the chips and dips and the stuff were good.
Yes, that was, we had a good time a few hours ago, and, you know, here we are back. And, I thought it was interesting that you were the person who actually wrote to me because you won one of the books, Wingman 18, Battle for America, and so everywhere. You won one of the books in our giveaway, and then you just wrote to me and said, have you ever had a live audience? And this like really kind of started the whole ball rolling on this thing. Did you ever think it would come to this?
So did we?
I didn't. I thought it was great. Yeah. You know, the whole idea behind that was that, you know, as a kid, we used to go into the radio stations and we could go right in the live shows.
Yes.
And I said, why not? You know, get to meet, you know, Mac and the guys. And
wow.
So it was great that you agreed to do that. Mm-hmm. It was wonderful.
Now,
you went to Emerson, right?
Who, me?
Did you go to Emerson?
Yes, they did.
Did they do that at Emerson? How to conduct a live show?
No. I wasn't in the radio.
Okay. You're in the public, the book stuff.
Films.
That's right.
Yeah. Film. Yeah. That was a waste of time, baby. A lot of fun. a lot of fun. Went to school and you'd watch movies all day. I mean, how can you not? You know, sometimes you can just get your classes on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. So every day, you know. Yeah, I did that for a while. But saw a lot of movies, but, you know, I'm not working in Hollywood, as you can see.
I can see that.
You know. But anyway, two kids I went to school with actually did go and worked in Hollywood. Who's the guy who did William Friedkin, the director? They painted his house. Literally painted his
William
house.
William Friedkin. Did he do a movie called 13 Ghosts?
Yes, right. That was a joke, Juan. They painted his house. They were film students. They went to Hollywood. They worked in Hollywood. They painted William Friedkin's house. Wow. Okay. All right. Looks like Cobra, you there?
That went over like a lead balloon.
Did he get a film credit for that?
Okay. Seven post crickets. So, Barry, you're a big Patriots fan as well, right? Like we all are.
Oh, yeah. How can you not be in this series?
Do you have the book by any chance? Do you have the Tom Brady book? Because Juan,
no,
I have
not
it.
Yet.
I have it.
Juan has
the TB12 method.
Yeah. Yeah.
How to Achieve a Lifetime of Sustained Peak Performance.
Wow. Yikes.
By Tom Brady.
Huh.
Well, now, I went right to the S's to see if there was covering any sexual performance, but there wasn't anything in there. No.
Oh, surprised. That's probably another book then. Yeah, maybe. Tom does Giselle.
I looked.
But listen, hey, Barry, right? I think we've talked off air about this. When it comes to, you know, oh, there is a picture of her. Oh, my God. Avert my eyes, please. She is not the most beautiful woman in the world. Do you agree with me on that?
She doesn't do it for me.
BK?
She looks pretty good, though.
You're talking about Giselle? Yeah.
Yes.
You know, I think she's a very attractive woman. You know, there's more attractive women, but I think I wouldn't throw her away.
Okay. And so
Or I wouldn't kick her out of bed for eating crackers,
there
right?
There you go. Okay. That's
remember that expression?
Yeah, it's from the 20s. Thank you. But I'm going to ask this question that all the people who answered that my question with what your answer was, I'm going to ask you this. Have you ever seen Giselle's sister?
Yes, I have. I haven't seen as many pictures of her as Giselle, but, you know, I've seen her online. And? I believe she's her twin.
Is she a twin?
She's a...
oh, my God.
What do you call it? Paternal?
Somebody was telling me. She doesn't look exactly like a twin, but I thought someone says she's a twin, but wow. But I could be wrong. I've seen her.
Okay. Yeah. So, let's just put cards on the table. She's more attractive than Giselle, correct? Oh, no.
If I was to rate them, I'd give Giselle a 10, and I'd give the sister an 11.
There you go. Can the studio audience please? I'm finally vindicated.
He's right. He's right. For sure.
Thank you, BK. So, anything else you can tell us about the show? I mean, how did you first hear us or when?
You know, it was over a year ago. You know, I listen a lot to different podcasts on the Dark Matter Network.
Yes.
And I was a big Art Bell listener for years. Mm-hmm. And so I love radio. Been listening to radio since I was 10 years old. And anyways, one night I stayed on after one of the shows came off. And I listened to you guys, and it was just a great feel to it. You know, you guys sitting in your man cave, sitting there having a beer and casual and interviewing some guests, and just a nice, light, you know, easygoing thing, which I like at night with all the politics we have during the day. So that's how I got hooked, and I've been with you guys, since then.
Well, that's great. It's good to know that people are out there listening because sometimes, you know,
sometimes you wonder.
Yeah, sometimes you do wonder, actually.
They're out there listening.
Well, we've been pushing it here. I know folks that also listen now. So.
Okay. Oh, wow. Here you go. Okay.
Maybe I can get a little commission on each new listener.
Hey, listen, you know, talk to our business manager, who is J. Jazzy Swoop, also known as one. So we lost Cobra. Is that the angle?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
He's missing in action.
All right.
Black Eyed Co-Pilot. It's fine.
Oh, okay. Max DePaula, very famous author, is here. And also the Black Eyed Kid is here. Black Eyed Kid, you get any experiences in North Reading?
I'm going to be heading up there after the show.
Probably didn't mean that. But
he's going to stand in the middle of Route 128 and say hi to everybody.
Cobra's okay. He says hi.
Yeah, all right. We haven't heard from him in 10 minutes, as it turns out.
Did you do anything to Cobra?
No comment.
Ooh.
Okay, all right. We We have to get rid of this kid.
That's not good.
Barry, sorry to taint your segment with the Black Eyed Kid. Taint. Okay.
No, I like Black Eyed Kid.
Oh, you do? Okay. Yeah. Do you have a question for him? Please, do you have a question you can ask in a minute 18?
Well, I just wondered, Black Eyed Kid, you know, you seem, you know, very smart. And do you have, like, ESP or stuff? Can you tell what people are thinking?
Sometimes, but I definitely have ESPN. But yeah, I know that where Mac's car is. Yeah.
Okay. What do you get that through Comcast, ESPN?
Yeah. Or Hulu. Or Verizon.org.
Black Eyed Kid. Okay. I'm on his toes tonight. Thank you, Black Eyed Kid, for joining us. Okay. Hey, Barry. Thank you very much for joining us too, and for taking part in the party, as we can say. Thanks for coming. And if Wanwan wants to do this again, what do you want to do it at Christmas there, Wanwan?
Sure.
Okay.
Oh, great! We'll be there at the Christmas party. But again, thank you very much for doing this. I think it was wonderful to get to meet all you guys.
Wow, that's great. Well, thanks for your interest in us, and we appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for critiquing the show.
Yeah, right.
We're always curious as to what kinds of content is appropriate for the show. I mean, we're very serious here, but on the other hand,
he's been here. He's seen us one.
I'm
great at critiquing everything but myself. So.
That's good. That's all right. Who among us? All right. Well, Barry Keefe, thanks a lot. Barry. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
You're the man. Thanks.
BK from North Reading there. And you know what? This is the end.
No way.
Yeah, of the live audience show / the after party.
Oh, man.
Okay. Time to go home to close, you know, lock the doors, turn out the lights. Time to go home.
But who took all the keys to our cars?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, yeah, right. Maybe
who's capable of driving?
Who's jingling over there?
Surprise!
So why don't we thank everyone, if we can remember, everyone who took part in the show, okay?
I don't have the list.
I don't either. The truth, you know? There was just so many people, you know? There was just so many people. Ross Shop. Okay, Cindy Bailey Dove, mm-hmm. Al Ronaldo, the UFO mechanic, right?
Yep. Barbara With.
Lois Lane. Barbara With. No Belly Button Man was here. The Ghost of JFK was here.
Yes, he was.
X was here. Barry Keefe was here. Rob was here. Dr. Common was here.
Dr. Lira was there, too.
Dr. Lira was here. Wow, man. That's a lot of fun in 4 hours. Anyway, so
a lot of doctors.
Did we leave anyone out? And Switch was here. Mm-hmm. Switch was here. Mark Zappula, the very famous author. Yeah, his publicist just texted me, mentioned Mark, and The Last Longshoreman, available on Amazon. And Phil Yeba, the UFO comedian. He's been in and out, right?
Yes, I go in and out sometimes. Thank you.
Okay. All right. And Sean Connery, also, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. Thank you.
Sounds more
so. What do you got under the skirt there? What do you got under the kilt there?
Twigs and berries.
Oh,
wow. Okay, so anyway.
What clan are you a part of?
Thank you. Yes, the Ku Klux Klan, possibly. Black Eyed Kid, are you in the Ku Klux Klan? That would be.
No. That's way below my pay grade.
Oh, really? Yeah, okay. You'd be the world's tallest midget in that organization, as they say. So anyway, thanks for everyone who joining us, and thanks to people out there for listening and tuning in us every week. We appreciate it.
Yep, we're getting good feedback through email.
Yes, right. It's OperationDistantThunder.com, is it?
OperationDistantThunder@gmail.com.
@gmail.com, I'm sorry, right? And they can also write to wingman@macmaloney.com. Mm-hmm. And if you someone who wants to name Rob's cat, right? This is the
name Rob's male cat.
Yeah. Please, you know, write to us and we'll see what happens. I suppose we'd have to give away something, a case of cat food or something. We're trying to hook Rob up with a fellow cat lover. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's what it's come to, one. We started this show about UFOs. How did we get down this road?
I don't know. Okay. It's the paranormal side of our show.
Thank you for that. That's right. Yes, it is. We're
about as paranormal as you can get.
Yes. Oh, there you go. See? His analysis. I'm glad you're here. Black Eyed Kid, do you have anything to add in a minute and a half?
No, just be safe tonight. Lock the doors.
Sleep tight and don't let the bugs bite.
Yeah, don't let the Black Eyed kid bite.
Yeah, there you go. Whether it's bugs or like a kid.
There's a boogeyman under my bed.
Yeah, you wish it was the boogeyman. The boogeyman you can handle. This you cannot handle. Thank you, Black Eyed Kid, for joining us.
Thank you. Okay. See you in the parking lot again.
Thanks a lot.
We'll call a cab, Juan. Don't worry. You can just jump in the back like the Beatles used to do. Okay, so thanks to everyone who's listening in. And this is the end of the party, so we'll go out and applause.
Okay, yes.
This is Mac Maloney for the whole gang. Okay,
thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks for listening in. Until then,
tolerating all this.
Be safe, be happy, and...
Bye-bye.
Let's do that again. Be safe, be happy, and...
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.